Conference call. Today is Monday, December, goodness, 28th, I believe, right? Didn't write that down. Anyway, December 28th, 2020. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern till midnight. If you are listening live over our radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. Or if anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of a website of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. You can click on our donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. Okay, tonight's scripture reading, we're going to be reading the Gospel of John, chapter 1, bringing in the new year. I think this would be an appropriate chapter to play at this point after Christmas. And next Monday, we'll pick back up in Matthew, where we left off. I think we did Matthew 18 or 19. I'll have to double check on that. But whatever it was, we'll pick up on the next chapter there next time. So we're coming close to the end of the Gospel of Matthew. All right, so let me set the page up here. And okay, this is the Gospel of John, Chapter 1, read by Alexander Scorby.
The Gospel according to St. John, Chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake, He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him, and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you, whom ye know not. He it is, who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he, of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again the next day after, John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messias, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man.
Okay, tonight we're going to take a look at a couple of things. We're coming into the new year, and it's really time for all of us to step up and do what we have to do. There are a lot of things that we, the people, have got to do, and President Trump cannot do it. Nobody can do this for us, what we need to be done. Let me close this down here before we continue further. Okay, so we're going to be looking at a couple of things tonight. One is the Republic Review. I got a short video we're going to put on. I think it's about 5 minutes long. And then after that, we're going to look at political parties. And we're going to take a serious, may hopefully get a serious conversation concerning political parties. We have to get rid of political parties. Our founding fathers never intended for us to have political parties. I've been doing some studying on that, and I've been quite surprised on how much they have spoken about this. Washington particularly, and Jefferson both, they were dead against political parties. Matter of fact, all our founding fathers were. But Jefferson had a lot to say about it, and very especially George Washington had a lot to say about this. So someone needs to mute themselves. They're coming through. Someone coming in under my name here. Let me see. All right, hopefully I'm still... Am I coming through still? Because I got confused that it was... Okay, anyway.
Yes, you are.
I am, okay. All right, anybody wants to go, we're going to be looking at this on the browser when we read through this. First, we're going to play the video. Like I said, it's about 5 minutes. We're going to look into political parties. It's going to take about 25 minutes. And if anybody wants to follow along, we'll be playing this in the browser. We'll be scrolling through the browser as we read through this paper. If you'd like to download the paper yourself, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org. And you can click on, under education, under education, you'll see NLA topics and PowerPoint videos, PP videos. Now, all of our YouTube videos that used to be up here are not up here anymore. Can't figure a way to really get them re-embedded. Carl, if you're here, maybe tomorrow we can try to connect to see if there's a way we can embed these videos into our website. They took the embedding feature out of our YouTube channel. These videos are still up on our YouTube channel, but we cannot embed them. So they've taken that ability away from us. I know there used to be a place called InLine or InFrame or something like that. Someone sent me something on that also, but I don't remember how to do that. And I think we can set up an in-frame and or an in-line and then play the video right off of YouTube inside our page. But if we can't do that, well, then that's fine. You have to go to YouTube to watch these things. But we do have a written copy, a list of the transcripts of all of those above the videos. Now, we don't have the video on the political parties. I just did that, worked on that over the weekend. But we're going to read through. We do have it in PDF. You can click on number 10 on that page, which is, again, on education, NLA topics, PowerPoint videos. Click on that. come down right under where the videos used to be, right before the comments, and you'll see there's 10 PDF files there. Political parties is one of them. All of these particular papers that you could read in PDF, they're all memorandums, so they'd be good for you to download and keep on your computer and use them for memorandums in a court case or whatever. A lot of these can be used in our court cases. Okay, so let's get started. We'll start with the video, which we'll share in a minute. If I negotiate myself over to the area here. Okay, here it is.
Republic Review and the Resolutions of 1798. Is Republic Review a legitimate process? Republic Review is the same process used when a contract or compact is being
violated. Terry, is that coming through?
It begins with an audit and ends with the necessary measures to correct
the
violations.
Yes, it is, but it could be slightly
louder. The key difference between
louder
a contract
if you can do that.
No, I can't. You'll have to put
if
your volume
a contract
up.
Dispute
but you can see the video?
The subordinate body
or the
in
words?
The compact who will not comply
yes,
to
I
the
can.
Superior parties right. of the compact or the owners, then the owners must seek remediation in a court with jurisdiction. However, with Republic Review, the states are the ultimate authority / court because they are the ultimate arbiters of the Constitution over all things not delegated in the Constitution in accordance with Article 5, 6, 7, and the 9th and 10th Amendments. In 1798, when the general government passed the Alien and Sedition Acts, Jefferson and Madison attempted to coalesce the states to force compliance with interposition. Jefferson called upon the states to establish a committee of conference and correspondence be appointed. As Madison stated, the General Assembly doth solemnly appeal to the like dispositions of the other states in confidence that they will concur with this Commonwealth in declaring, as it does hereby declare, that the acts aforesaid are unconstitutional, and that the necessary and proper measures will be taken by each for cooperating with this state in maintaining the authorities, rights, and liberties referred to the states respectively or to the people. If they were only nullifying the unconstitutional laws, then why organize committees of correspondence and seek cooperation with all the states to take necessary and proper measures? Even more important, after they successfully nullified the laws, why did Jefferson lament in his resolutions of 1799, stating, quote, "We cannot, however, but lament that in the discussion of these interesting subjects, by a sundry of the legislatures of our sister states, unfounded suggestions and uncandid insinuations, derogatory of the true character and principles of the good people of this commonwealth, have been substituted in place of fair reasoning and sound judgment." Close quote. And Madison, defending his assertion in his Report on the Virginia Resolutions, later in 1800, quote, "Whatever room might be found in the proceedings of some of the states who have disapproved of the resolutions of the General Assembly of this Commonwealth, passed on the 21st day of December, 1798, for painful remarks on the spirit and manner of those proceedings, it appears to the committee most consistent with the duty as well as dignity of the General Assembly to hasten an oblivion to every circumstance which might be construed into a diminution of mutual respect, confidence, and affection among the members of this Union." Clearly, what they were seeking was full compliance, and apparently the other states did not recognize the importance of maintaining compliance. Today we are facing much more dire circumstance of non-compliance to the Constitution. More than 85% of money spent by the general government is on unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers. The various violations to the Constitution individually can destroy the Republic and our Constitution, along with many other violations posing similar threats to our Republic's survival. violations that are a primary threat to our liberties, our Constitution, and our Republic is the federal control of health care, education, energy, welfare, environment, housing, labor, and our overall debt being generated from these and other violations to our Constitution. Compacts are created and entered into for specific reasons, and our hybrid constitutional republic can be fully restored through republic review as long as the states fulfill what Jefferson and Madison stated in December of 1798. Our only course of action to obtain full compliance with the Constitution is for one state to initiate the audit and call for republic review. Once a majority of states join in the republic review process, the states will be asserting their constitutional authority over the Constitution and using the tools within the Constitution to obtain compliance.
Okay. All right. So republic review is one of the things that we are working on with here at National Liberty Alliance with the GR, who has put together this and did a lot of investigative work and research in order to put that together. And you can get more information on this. Let me get this box here. You can get more information on this under People's Duty. You can come down to the Republic Review here. Click on that Republic Review. And there's a few, well, there's no more videos up here. Okay, they shut his videos down too. Again, here we are. We'll see what we could do about bringing videos back up, because videos are good tools to give introductions. But nevertheless, we have written information on the Republic Review. We also will have these videos available for download at some point. Just got to find the time to go through all these videos and start posting them up there so that people can use them at their meetings, their local grassroots county meetings. And things like the Republic Review is something you want to play. Now, look, Trump is doing a great job. I understand Gerard sent me a message just a little while ago that Trump has declared an emergency. Maybe when I'm done, maybe Gerard can take the mic and talk a little bit about that and whatever he knows. Again, this looks like it just recently came about. And there is a video to watch, which I'm sure he'll share with you. We can't play that video here, because in order to play the video here, we have to download it, and then we have to change it into an MP4 if it's not an MP4, and then we've got to upload it to this program here and then play it. And we haven't done that. Usually we do all of that stuff before the program starts. So we'll be able to play that video. We'll see what we'll do. Maybe I'll be able to do all that in the background when Gerard takes the mic, and we'll see what happens. But right now, Trump is doing what he's got to do. No doubt in my mind and my heart, none at all, that President Trump is going to continue after January 22nd or 21st. I think it's 21st. But anyway, he's going to continue, and then he's going to complete the work he was doing. But America will never be America. We will never have courts of justice. We will never have control of our political process. We will never have that relationship and control of the political process in our grassroots level from our own counties and our towns unless the people step up and do something. Now, I've already prepared for a meeting myself locally, so I'm going to take the first step. We'll put a page up, and you'll find that we'll try to set the page up hopefully quickly. Matter of fact, we already may have this put together already. I don't know if Carl has worked on it or not, but if not, we'll work on it. Where people will go up and click on their state, and then whatever counties are active and having meetings, you'll be able to find them there. And if you can't find your county, then you'll want to click on your county and put in the proper information, whoever's going to be running the meetings, or, you know, taking control of the meetings on the grassroots level, so other people can go up here and look and see and join, get necessary information and join your meetings at the grassroots in your counties. They should be county meetings. The key is really the county meetings, and we need to redevelop the committees of safety at that county level. And information on doing that, again, is under people's duties. And you'll see a tab that says Organize Your Counties. Click on that, and you'll be able to get plenty of information on how to organize your county. We will have, over the course of the next 30 days or so, we'll have a lot of tools up here on this page, downloads, things you'll be able to download, videos and papers, PDFs, flyers, all kinds of stuff in order to use these things at your meetings. Already we have some PowerPoint videos ready for download right here, so you should be able to click on them and download them. Maybe, as a matter of fact, we may be able to play these videos off of our website since we already have them up there already. We might be able to play them directly without having to go through YouTube. So we'll see about what we're going to do with that. There are some videos here, though, that that are not necessarily ours, but other people. We do have Trump's inauguration speech, which was very, very powerful. I'm looking forward to the second one coming up. I think it's going to be very powerful, very informing, and so on. But the Republic Review, which is the video we just played, is extremely, extremely important that we get this done. So anybody who has the ability to articulate themselves well and would like to work with the group that is working with the different states to get this momentum moving in the states, if I understand it correctly, it only takes one state to really propose it, and then we need to work on other states to agree and come together. And basically, in a nutshell, what the Republic Review is to get rid of all unconstitutional legislations, to go through everything that Congress has passed and start working on removing things that are unconstitutional. The other thing, of course, is there are certain agencies that we never gave the authority to the federal government to participate with in any agencies that do different things. That belongs to the states. Now, there are certain agencies that I think the federal government should do, but we haven't given them the authority to do it. But we can work that out at the state level. There is a plan for that so that we can leave certain things, as long as we can agree to it, that the federal government should be handling certain things and not necessarily the states. But in a lot of cases, or in most cases, the states need to be handling things, not the federal government. The other thing that's extremely important, which I'm going to talk about right now, before I do that, just to go real quick, we need to take back our courts via the juries and jury administrations. We will not have common law back into our courts unless we, the people, take total control of that. And we can handle the total control of that between the two different processes that we're working with to take back control. One is to work with the committee man process, which starts at the level, of course, working with the committees of safety and developing a lot of those people into committee men. That's number one. And we'll talk a little bit more about the strengths and the power and the authority of that after we review parties. The other thing that we need to do, well, of course, the political process taken back by the committeemen. And now the other thing we really need to do is to get rid of political parties. And we can very easily do that, but only the people can do that. No one in government can do it. The states can't do it. The president can't do it. But we, the people, and the power and the authority of the committeemen, we can get rid of political parties. It is extremely important that we get rid of political parties. And I think after we go through this paper, I think everyone's going to realize that and probably agree. We were never meant to have political parties. There are people that claim that we have to have two parties. We have to have two. No, not at all. No, it just divides the people. What we need is people in office and people involved in all of these things to be constitutionalists. Just obey the Constitution. There's nothing for them to debate or decide on what needs to go more into the Constitution or different authorities beyond what we've given. There's nothing. They don't need to be discussing our Bill of Rights. It's our Bill of Rights. They're unalienable rights. Leave it alone. Just be obedient. Okay? And so the political parties have got to go, and we have to become Federalist. We have to become Republicans. We have to become Constitutionalists. Republicans, meaning that we being a Republican, a form of republic. That's the government that each state is guaranteed by the United States of America, by the federal government. It's to guarantee every state. And Jefferson had mentioned that we are all Republicans, we are all Federalists. We believe in the federal authority, the federal powers, and we believe that the Constitution that we set up, given those vesting those individuals in Congress and in the courts, and also, of course, in the administration, the presidency, we vested them with certain powers, certain jurisdictions, and certain authorities. These people do not have additional rights. They have the same rights we have as an individual. They do not have anything special beyond. But they have authority. They have jurisdictions that we gave them in order to run our government. And so it's not a right. Okay, so let's take a look at this. Again, if anybody would like to download this paper, print it out and read it, or if you would like to, let me see if I can find this again. It should have been under, where did I put this? Oh, okay, under education, coming down, PowerPoint, NLA Topics PowerPoint. Scroll down just a wee bit, and you can click on the political parties right there, and you'll be able to follow along with us. We'll do this out of Word, I think, because it'll be a lot easier for me to be able to do this and scroll through it. So, political parties, this is out of Chapter 11 of the book, and I just finished this, so I'm adding this to the book, and I'll give some updates on the book maybe when we get through this, see where we're going with the book. But let's take a look at and listen to political parties, about 25 minutes, a very powerful paper in my opinion. Political parties. A group of persons organized to acquire and exercise political power. Political parties originated in their modern form in Europe and the United States in the 19th century, along with the oratorical and parliamentary systems, whose development reflects the evolution of parties. The term party has since become to be applied to all organized groups seeking political power, whether by democratic elections or by revolution. There is always an alternative motive. Political parties always empower individuals and never the people. There are five basic forms of government. They are monarchy, ruled by one person, oligarchy, ruled by a small handful of people, democracy, ruled by majority of citizens, and a republic, ruled by law. And five, the anarchy, no government, mob rule. Anarchy is barbarism, being no government at all. It's dog-eat-dog world. And there's no choice at all. Political parties will always drive us to the true left, tyranny. Monarchy, oligarchy, and republics via democracy leads us to the New World Order. Republics are built upon the laws of men, whereas a natural law republic is built upon the laws of nature's God. In earlier pre-revolutionary aristocratic and monarchical regimes, the political process unfolded within a restricted circle in which cliques and factions grouped around particular noblemen or influential personalities who are opposed to one another. The establishment of parliamentary regimes and the appearance of parties at first scarcely changed the situation, to cliques formed around princes, dukes, counts, and monarchies. There were added cliques formed around bankers, merchants, industrialists, businessmen, and bar attorneys. Regimes supported by nobles were succeeded by regimes supported by other elites. These narrowly based parties were later transformed to a greater or lesser extent, for in the 19th century in Europe and America, there emerged parties depending on mass support. The 20th century saw the spread of political parties throughout the entire world. In less developed countries, large modern political parties have sometimes been based on traditional relationships, such as ethical, tribal, or religious affiliations. Moreover, many political parties in less developed countries are party political, party military. Certain socialist and communist parties in Europe earlier experienced the same tendencies. American electoral politics has been dominated by two major political parties since shortly after the founding of the Republic. Since the 1850s, they have been the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. Since the last major party realignment in the mid-20th century, the Democratic Party has been the center-left and liberal party, and the Republican Party has been the center-right. Since the 1990s, both the Republican and the Democratic parties have shifted further apart. This two-party system is based on laws, party rules, and custom, not specifically outlined in the U.S. Constitution. Several third parties also operate in the United States, and from time to time elect someone into local office. The largest third party since 1980s has been the Libertarian Party. Besides the Constitutional Green and Libertarian parties, there are many other political parties that receive only minimal support and only appear on the ballot in one or a few states. The one thing they all have in common is that they all strive for political power, which means controlling the narrative. Political power shapes and controls people's attitude towards their leaders. Power is usually defined as the ability to influence people's behavior by getting people to do what a small group of people want. Occupying a political position means having the power and the ability to affect the desired change of behavior of other people involved through persuasion or manipulation. Political parties drive people away from a republic and to a democracy, which eventually will evolve into tyranny. Political power shapes and controls people's attitudes towards their party leader, while an organic republic drives people to their organic roots. In a true organic republic, there is no need for parties because government has already been given its directive, where we said, in the preamble of our Constitution, we, the people of the United States, in order to, number one, form a more perfect union, two, establish justice, three, ensure domestic tranquility, four, provide for the common defense, five, promote the general welfare, and six, secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. The aforesaid six directives are what all elected and appointed servants should be addressing within their constitutional authorities as they legislate. They should be uniting America, not positioning and empowering themselves or a group, and thereby poisoning our republic. The largest investigators of a party creation and divide are the ABA and special interest groups. The ABA teaches their minions, its bar attorneys, to legislate civil law instead of the law of the land, also known as natural law. They drive unconstitutional law through Congress as the special interest groups bribe members in Congress for their vote and the federal judiciary to maintain the status quo. America's two-party system claims a right and a left, but the truth is that they both lead the people to the same destructive end, tyranny under an oligarchy. Democrats identify themselves as liberals or progressives, and no matter how you coin their political position, it is always socialism, which is the distribution of wealth without merit that always funnels most to the political elite and eventually ends up in communism. Republicans hold a political view that favor free enterprise, private ownership, while they maintain the contradictive narrative that America is a democracy, which is the necessary ingredient that cliques have used to lead us to corporatism. These billion-dollar corporations owned by the oligarchs seduced our elected officials as they robbed the people of their representation via lobbying. Let's hear what our founding fathers had to say about political parties through George Washington's farewell address. You can find a full copy in the appendices, where he said, "To the people of the United States, friends and fellow citizens, the basis of our political system is the right of the people to make and to alter their constitutions of government. But the Constitution, which at any time exists, until changed by an explicit and authentic act of the whole people, is sacredly obligatory upon all. The very idea of the power and the right of the people to establish government presupposes the duty of every individual to obey the established governments. Parties are designed to direct, control, counteract, or awe the regular deliberation and action of the constituted authorities. Parties are destructive to fundamental principles. Parties serve to organize factions. Parties give it an artificial and extraordinary force. Parties put in the place of the delegated will of the nation the will of a party. Parties make the public administrations the mirror of the ill-will concerted and incongruous projects of factions. Parties are potent engines by which cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men will be enabled to subvert the power of the people and to usurp for themselves the reins of government, destroying afterwards the very engines which have lifted them to the unjust dominion. One method of assault by parties may be to effect in the form of the Constitution alterations which will impair the energy of the system and thus to undermine what cannot be directly overthrown. Liberty itself will find in such a government, with powers properly distributed and adjusted, its surest guardian. It is indeed little else than a name, where the government is too feeble to withstand the enterprise of faction, to confine each member of the society within the limits prescribed by the law, and to maintain all in the secure and tranquil enjoyment of the rights of the person and property. I have already intimated to you the dangers of parties in the state, with particular reference to the founding of them on geographical discriminations. Let me now take a more comprehensive view and warn you in the most solemn manner against the baneful effects of the spirit of party generally. This spirit, unfortunately, is inseparable from our nature, having its root in the strongest passions of the human mind. It exists under different shapes in all governments, more or less stifled, controlled, or repressed. But in those of the popular form, it is seen in its greatest rankness and is truly their worst enemy. The alternative domination of one faction over another, sharpened by the spirit of revenge, natural to party dissension, which in different ages and countries has perpetrated the most horrid enormities, is itself a frightful despotism. Parties lead at length to a more formal and permanent despotism. The disorders and miseries which result gradually incline the minds of men to seek security and repose in the absolute power of an individual, and sooner or later the chief of some prevailing faction, more able or more fortunate than his competitors, turned his despotism to the purposes of his own elevation on the ruins of public liberty. The common and continual mischief of the spirit of party are sufficient to make it the interest and the duty of a wise people to discourage and restrain it. It serves always to distract the public councils and enfeeble the public administration. It agitates the community with ill-founded jealousies and false alarms. It kindles the animosity of one part against the other. It foments occasionally riot and insurrections. It opens the door to foreign influence and corruption, which finds and facilitates access to the government itself through the channels of party passions. Thus, the policy and the will of one country are subjected to the policies and the will of another. Parties may serve only monarchical governments. There is an opinion that parties in free countries are useful checks upon the administrations of the governments and serve to keep alive the spirit of liberty. This, within limits, is probably true, and in governments of monarchical caste patriotism may look with indulgence, if not with favor, upon the spirit of party. But in those of the popular character in government purely elective, it is a spirit not to be encouraged. From their natural tendency, it is certain there will always be enough of that spirit for every salutary purpose. And there being constant danger of excess, the effort ought to be by force of public opinion to migrate and assuage it. A fire not to be quenched. It demands a uniform vigilance to prevent its bursting into a flame, lest instead of warning, it should consume. The spirit of encroachment creates real despotism. It is important, likewise, that the habits of thinking in a free country should inspire caution in those entrusted with its administration to confine themselves within their respective constitutional spheres, avoiding in the exercise of the powers of one department to encroach upon another. The spirit of encroachment tends to consolidate the power of all of the departments in one, and thus to create, whatever the form of government, a real despotism. A just estimate of that love of power and proneness to abuse it, which predominates in the human heart, sufficient to satisfy us the truth of this position. Let there be no change by usurpation. The necessity of reciprocal checks in the exercise of political power by dividing and distributing it into different depositories and constituting each the guardian of the public weal against invasions and the others has been evinced by experiments ancient and modern, some of them in our country and under our own eyes. To preserve them must be as necessary as to institute them. If in the opinion of the people, the distribution or modification of the constitutional powers to be in any particular wrong, let it be corrected by an amendment in the way which the Constitution designates. But let there be no change or by usurpation, for through this, in one instance, may be the instrument of good. It is the customary weapon by which free governments are destroyed. The precedent must always greatly overbalance in permanent evil any partial or transient benefit which the use can at any time yield. Religion and morality, the great pillars of human happiness, are indispensable. Of all dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable to supports. In vain would that man claim the tribute of patriotism who should labor to subvert these great pillars of human happiness, these firmest props of the duties of men and citizens. The mere politician, equally with the pious man, ought to respect and to cherish them. A volume could not trace all their connections with private and public felicity. Let it simply be asked, where is the security for property, for reputation, for life, if the sense of religious obligation deserts the oaths, which are the instruments of investigation in courts of justice? And let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Whatever may be conceded to the influence of refined education on minds, of particular structure, reason, and experience, both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principles. Virtue is a necessary spring of popular government. It is substantially true that virtue or morality is a necessary spring of popular government. The rule indeed extends with more or less force to every species of free government. Who that is a sincere friend to it can look with indifference upon attempts to shake the foundation of a fabric, promote then as an object of primary importance, institutions for the general diffusion of knowledge. In proportion as the structure of a government gives force to public opinion, it is essential that public opinion should be enlightened. The insidious wiles of foreign influence. Against the insidious wiles of foreign influence, I conjure you to believe me, fellow citizens, the jealousy of a free people ought to be constantly awake, since history and experience prove that foreign influence is one of the most baneful foes of the republican government. But that jealousy, to be useful, must be impartial, else it becomes the instrument of the very influence to be avoided instead of a defense against it. Excessive partiality for one foreign nation and excessive dislikes of another cause those who they actuate to see danger only on one side, and serve to veil and even second the arts of the influence on the other. Real patriots who may resist the intrigues of a favorite are liable to become suspected and odious, while its tools and dupes usurp the applause and confidence of the people to surrender their interests. The great rule of conduct for us in regard to foreign nation is in extending our commercial relations to have with them as little potential connection as possible. So far as we are commercial relations, to have them have with them as little political connection as possible. So far as we have already formed engagements, let them be fulfilled with perfect good faith. Here, let us stop. It is our true policy to steer clear of permanent alliances with any portion of the foreign world, so far, I mean, as we are now at liberty to do it. For let me not be understood as capable of patronizing infidelity to existing engagements. I hold the maxim no less applicable to public than to private affairs, that honesty is always the best policy. I repeat it, therefore, let those engagements be observed in their genuine sense. But in my opinion, it is unnecessary and would be unwise to extend them. Harmony, liberal intercourse with all nations, are recommended by policy, humanity, and interests. Final warning of the fury of party spirit. In offering to you, my countrymen, these counsels of an old and affectionate friend, I dare not hope they will make the strong and lasting impression I could wish that they will control the usual current of the passions or prevent our nation from ruining the course which has hitherto marked the destiny of nations. But if I may ever flatter myself that they may be productive of some partial benefit, some occasionally good, that they may now and then recur to moderate the fury of party spirit, to warn against the mischiefs of foreign intrigue, to guard against the impostors of pretended patriotism, this hope will be a full recompense for the solicitude for your welfare by which they have been dictated. We are all Republicans. We are all Federalists. We are not Democrats. Thomas Jefferson. The Republican Party, in various other names, was an American political party founded by Thomas Jefferson and James Madison in the early 1790s that championed republicanism, which is ruled by law and not men. He had no plans for a permanent two-party system of government. Jefferson began his presidency with the plea for reconciliation, stating, "We are all Republicans. We are all Federalists." He also began with a strong commitment to limited government and a strict construction of the Constitution. Thomas Jefferson, "Governments is instituted for the common good, for the protection, safety, prosperity, and happiness of the people, and not for profit, honor, or private interest of any one man, family, or class of men. Therefore, the people alone have an incontestable, unalienable, and indefeasible right to institute government and to reform, alter, or totally change the same when their protection, safety, prosperity, and happiness require it. If a political party does not have its foundation in the determination to advance a cause that is right and that is moral, then it is not a political party. It is merely a conspiracy to seize power. There is nothing which I dread so much as a division of the Republic into two great parties, each arranged under its leader, and concerting measures in opposition to each other. This is my humble apprehension, is to be dreaded as the greatest political evil under our Constitution. I see the danger in either case will arise principally from the conduct and views of two very unprincipled parties in the United States, two fires, between which the honest and substantial people have long found themselves situated. Under democracy, one party always devotes its chief energies to trying to prove that the other party is unfit to rule, and both commonly succeed and are right. The bosses of the Democratic Party and the bosses of the Republican Party alike have a closer grip than ever before on the party machines in the states and in the nation. This crooked control of both the old parties of the beneficiaries of political and business privilege renders it hopeless to expect any far-reaching and fundamental service from either. A general dissolution of principles and manners will more surely overthrow the liberties of America than the whole force of the common enemy. While the people are virtuous, they cannot be subdued. But when once they lose their virtue, then will be ready to surrender their liberties to the first external or internal invader. Thomas Jefferson's solution. Men by their constitutions are naturally divided into two parties. One, those who fear and distrust the people and wish to draw all party from them into the hands of a higher class. Two, those who identify themselves with the people, have confidence in them, cherish and consider them as the most honest and safe, although not the most wise depository of the public interest. In every country, these two parties exist, and in every one where they are free to think, speak, and write, they will declare themselves. Call them, therefore, liberals and servos, Jacobins and Ultras, Whigs and Tories, Republicans and Federalists, Aristocrats and Democrats, or by whatever name you please, they are the same party still and pursue the same object. The last one, of aristocrats and Democrats, is the true one expression, the essence of all. Both of our political parties, at least the honest portion of them, agree conscientiously in the same object, the public good, but they differ essentially in what they deem the means of promoting that good. One side believes it's best done by one composition of the government's governing powers, the other by a different one. One fears most of the ignorance of the people, the other the selfishness of rulers independent of them. Which is right, time and experience will prove. We think that one side of this experiment has been long enough tried and proved not to promote the good of the many, and that the other has not been fairly and sufficiently tried. One opponent think the reverse, with whichever opinion the body of the nation concurs, that must prevail. That each party endeavors to get into the administration of the government and exclude the other from power is true, and may be stated as a motive of action, but this is only secondary, the primary motive being a real and radical difference of political principle. I sincerely wish our differences were but personally who should govern, and that the principles of our Constitution were those of both parties. Unfortunately, it is otherwise, and the question of preference between monarchy and republicanism, which has so long divided mankind elsewhere, threatens a permanent division here. If we move in mass, be it ever so circuitously, we shall obtain our object. But if we break into squads, everyone pursuing the path he thinks most direct, we become an easy conquest to those who can now barely hold us in check. I never submitted the whole system of my opinions to the creed of any party of men, whatever, in religion, in philosophy, in politics, or in anything else, where I was capable of thinking for myself. Such an addiction is the last degradation of a free and moral agent. If I could not go to heaven but with a party, I would not go there at all. Heal its party divisions and make them one people. The greatest good we can do our country is to heal its party divisions and make them one people. I know no safe depository of the ultimate powers of the society but the people themselves. And if we think them not enlightened enough to exercise their control with a wholesome discretion, the remedy is not to take it from them, but to inform their discretion by education. This is the true corrective of abuses of constitutional power. The conclusion could not be denied. If we the people are ever going to save our republic, we must nullify political parties. Outside of the authorities and jurisdictions that we the people vested our servants via the Constitution, there is nothing for our servants to debate or alter. That's the people's job. As for our covenant with God via the Declaration of Independence, which is America's foundation, also known as natural law, The courts had no authority to abrogate natural law and replace it with civil law, as they did in 1938. And as for the Bill of Rights, we gave no authority to our servants to debate what is naturally given by nature's God, just adherence to its prohibitions. Elected servants are servants and not masters. They have no authority to think that they can negotiate our rights away. There is no place for political parties in an organic republic. We need to proceed in principle and not in parties. These small factions that control our political parties struggle to control one political ideology over others. Only we the people can abolish parties simply by resurrecting the elected committeemen in each election district, rewrite the committeemen rules, and dismantle all political parties through nullification. National Liberty Alliance is already organizing and educating the grassroots in all 3,133 counties and has already rewritten a framework for party rules designed to equally empower the people and bind down our government servants with the chains of the Constitution. It's time we exercise the biblical principle. Listen to and honor our founding fathers who offered their lives for our liberty. Only the people can make the political narrative the Constitution. Okay. And as I was saying before we started this, I myself have been talking to people in my county. We are planning a meeting in the beginning of January for my county here, Dutchess County. I will post that information up on our website. We'll probably talk about it in the next week or two and tell everybody where the page is and how you can put your meetings up there so that people who come here can find you know, where people are meeting in their counties. And clearly, this will be a beginning of really pushing a lot of things. So, of course, we're going to have a lot of counties that have nobody there. It's up to you to start this. And everybody needs to get involved in this. Even if you just start it and intend on passing, you know, the organization, the operations, the authorities or whatever to other people within your group, that's fine. But let's get it started. Everybody should participate in some way. Everyone, if you want to save this nation, if we want to take back these political parties, if we want to take control, reading through this paper, it's clear, we have the control. We can take the political control, we could take the judicial control, we could take back the authorities over our sheriffs, we can reestablish and reinstate the militias. We can repair the damages done to our Constitution over the past 150 or so years. We can get rid of all of the illegal activities of our federal government and the things that belong to the states. We have a lot of work to do, and only we the people can do it. But everybody must get involved. There's no reason why every one of us cannot give up 2 or 3 hours a week, usually on an evening. It could be during the day. I know, you know, we do it because of the place we go to. It's closed on Sundays. So we do it on a Sunday afternoon. We come together 2 or 3 hours, and we do it once a month. Now, we haven't done that in quite some time, but we're reestablishing that for this purpose. Everybody should be going to their monthly meetings in your county, seeing what's going on, meeting your sheriffs and the deputies, meeting other people that are in government, participating in putting, bringing together and organizing the committeemen. We need to form the committees of safeties in our counties. That's what we're going to be doing. We're establishing that relationship with our sheriffs. We've got the campaign for constitutional sheriffs going. People need to be buying the books for their sheriffs so that they understand and once they're primed. Now, we have had some people who wanted to purchase 2 books and take care of the sheriffs themselves. They want to give the book to the sheriff themselves. And that's nice and everything, but we strongly suggest that you let us do it. And the reason why we'd like you to do it is because accompanying that book will be a letter from a group of sheriffs who are organizing on a national level to introduce that sheriff to this book and what we are doing here at National Liberty Alliance, and to encourage them to participate with the people on a local level right there in the grassroots in their counties, and also to participate with other constitutional sheriffs across the nation. So you know, we will honor the people who want the book and we'll send it to them. And, you know, we don't know, well, we can figure out what sheriffs they're going to or whatever, but we're still going to send a book anyway, so they'll get two books then. But we're going to send a book anyway to that sheriff eventually, because it is important to make the connection. We will train people, which is part of the process of what we're doing. Again, if you go to our website and you look on our pages there and you see underneath people's duties, this is where we'll be doing a lot of our training information on how to structure the committees of safety in your county, how to work together to get the committee men going, the elected committee men. And we need to get elected committee men going in order to take control of the political parties, in order to take them out. We, the people, have the power and the authority and the duty to get rid of political parties. They are nothing but destruction. The only purpose of that is to lead us into a democracy, to set one side against the other, the left against the right, the black against the white, the left against the right, the black against the white, and even separations of religion. You know, we need to take this back and stop the division. What should be on the minds of these people who are representing us in Washington is not how much money they can get from all these special interest groups through the lobbying, because that's illegal, and anybody taking money once we, the people, are in power, are going to go to jail, and we'll make it clear. You know, lobbying and giving money to people for a vote is nothing more than just really bribery. It's paying people, it's buying someone's vote is what it is. They're there to represent the people, to protect the Constitution, to uphold that Constitution. That's what they're there for. This is what should be in their conversation. This is what should be in their minds. And we, the people, can force that to happen, through the committee men particularly. So, again, get involved in your grassroots. If there's no grassroots, start your grassroots. One person gets it going. Two people start to organizing it. Three or four, by the time you come to a half a dozen people, you set your meeting up. And when you set your meeting up, you invite all of the people in liberty groups within your county or even counties next door or wherever. All kinds of different groups meet that you can invite. Or you can go speak to those groups. That's what we'll be doing here in New York. I will go back this probably this summer. I'll be traveling the state again and maybe do some of the nearby states, Connecticut, New Jersey, maybe even Pennsylvania, I don't know. But we're going to start traveling, and we're going to start meeting people in different groups and introducing them to what it is that we're doing and getting them involved and get things sparked up in their counties. And anybody that feels that they can do this also, they should be doing it. We've got all the tools. We've got plenty of papers. We've got plenty of PowerPoints. We've got videos. We've got all the tools necessary. We have the instructions and the structure of how to set this up, how to get the militia going. We have a course on the militia. We have a process laid out on how a proper militia should be done and a place for militia registration, again, under the People's Duty tab. But we have to do this. We have to get more involved. I'm not seeing the people moving. And I know we've had a lot of problems, you know, all the things that have taken place this last year and the stupid masks and all that other stuff. It's time to end it all and say, this is it. Let's go have our meetings. Let's get them going in January. Let's organize the nation and let's take back this nation, because Donald Trump cannot do these things. If you're expecting him with his magic wand to go beyond his abilities, forget about it. It's not going to happen. People must take the control of the nation. It is your duty. This is what we are. We have a nation that is under the rule and the authority of the people. We have government by the consent of the people. And don't believe the lie that you consent to your government at the ballot box. That doesn't amount to a hill of beans. I mean, right now it does, of course. It's extremely important. But once we get to the other side, it's not that important on who actually, forget about parties, we got to get rid of them. But again, it's not that important who gets in power, because we'll have control over them. And if they don't do the right thing and honor their oaths and uphold and support that Constitution, we will take them out of office by recall. Or we will indict them on a criminal charge, if there's a criminal charge involved, and remove them that way. But we, the people, must take control. We cannot sit back and expect someone else to take care of our liberties. Liberties cost money and time. You have to put your time and your money behind this. There's no other way. No other way. It's what our founding fathers did, and they placed their lives also right on the plate. We need to do the same thing. We have a great opportunity. It's time to move and go forward. So, again, we're organizing all of these different things. We need to be speaking about these things. People need to be reading about these things and going forward. So in the next week or two, like I said, we'll get a page up, and I'm expecting and hoping to see everybody get involved and sign up. Sign up on your page and take control of your, you know, grassroots movement. And pass, you know, look at, nobody should control it for a long period of time. We constantly must be sharing the chairman seat and the things and activities that we do. You know, maybe secretaries, people who have a good background and that kind of a thing, maybe they may stick at it for a long time and hopefully be able to pass it to others. But nevertheless, parties, because you're a chairman or a co-chairman or some other authority, that doesn't give you an extra vote. It doesn't give you any extra more power. You don't get to decide what you're going to speak about and what you're not going to speak about. No, the people get to decide. You have just as much say as just anybody else has, and no more. And that's the problem with parties. They put these hierarchies up. Look at Pelosi. She controls the Democratic Party. Total control. Same thing on the Republican side. Total control. They decide what comes to the floor and what's not coming to the floor. They decide and tell, and everybody votes the way they tell. Look, it, that's not constitutional. That doesn't do we the people any good at all. And we see that all they're doing is empowering themselves. They're not empowering you and me. They're empowering themselves. National Liberty Alliance is not empowering itself. It is empowering the people on the grassroots level. And any organization or group that is not doing that, then you should really shy away from them and find somewhere else to go. National Liberty Alliance is endeavoring to empower the people, to bring the people together, to organize them, to bring them so that they can communicate and share their information, to empower them with knowledge, to educate them, and to be there as an advice, and to continue education of other people as they come in over the years. And that's what we're doing here, and everybody needs to get involved. No one person is to control everything. That's a problem when you get involved in these systems. You can't have a chairman that thinks he's God or some great leader that everyone has to listen to. And you also, I will warn everyone, because this is going to happen in every place you go. It's going to happen in your county. It's already happened here in National Liberty Alliances on a couple of different places. It happened to us down in Florida. It happened to us out in Colorado, Utah, a few other places. Okay, Michigan, we had a problem out there. You get these people, they'll come in with their own agendas, and they'll start bringing the conversation in another direction. That's what's going to happen to all of us at some point. Be aware and watch. They're going to try to teach you the man on the land stuff, to give up this, to give up that. And by the way, there is a movement by the Anna von Ritz. We spoke about this before. They got a new page up, and I just got it today, and they're organizing the entire United States. They got all the states. They got quite a few people involved. They seem to have someone in every state involved there. They are intending on moving this country to get rid of our Constitution, to rewrite it. There's no way in the world anyone living today, coming together, can create a better work than the Constitution we have. I don't think it's possible. I don't care what time or what year you're living in. I don't think it's possible to create a document better than that. It is a great document. And the most important part, the two most important parts of those documents is its foundation, the Declaration of Independence, and the Bill of Rights. That's the two most important part of our documents. But, of course, that centerpiece, the Constitution itself, okay, that in itself is extremely important because it lays out the authorities and the jurisdictions of the people, how much authority and what jurisdictions we've given them, whether it be in the political or judicial or administrative processes. But there is an evil movement moving up, and I dare call it an evil movement because I'm telling you, it's taken us away from our Constitution. It's taken us away from common law. It's taken us into a place that's really dark. And if we don't succeed taking control of this whole process righteously and justly, maybe someone else will. And then we'll be under an even worse tyranny. Okay, with that, I'm going to move on. Just a quick announcement about the book. I've been working with my editor. I've corrected all of the editing that they've already done. I'm sending it back this week. I'm adding a couple of more things into the book, a couple of more pages. This paper I just did on parties, it will be in the book. When they get it, they're now going to bring it into, format it, get all the paragraphs lined up correctly and the spacing and the fonts and the bold headings and so on and so forth. And once they complete that and stick it in all of whatever pictures or diagrams that I might have, once all that's done, they'll get that back to me, and I will do my final approval on that, which should go pretty quick on that. I should be able to do that in a day, just skim through the book, and, it's really all visual at that point, because everything else would have already been edited. So once that visual is looking good and I'm feeling comfortable and confident that it's reflecting what I'd like to see the book to reflect, or maybe they give us some changes and it's better than what I think, that's fine too. But, I'm going to go through that formatting and approve it. And once I approve that formatting, then we move into the final stage and move towards printing. We were hoping to get this done by the end of, the end of November, coming into December, and, hoping to have the book out by December. Obviously, that didn't happen, and it's not going to happen. We're struggling now to make, hopefully, to get it out before the end of January. But you know what? Like anything else we've been doing here at National Liberty Alliance, we never get anything done in our own timing. We have we try to shoot for certain dates to get things done and accomplished and move on to the next section and write a paper and a file this and to do that. We've done a lot of things. We've been extremely busy, and we've done a lot of things over the past so many years. But timing has never been on ours, but timing has always been right. So, there's someone else taking care of time, and it certainly isn't me or anybody else working here with National Liberty Alliance. So maybe the timing and the rightness of this book is the end of January. Maybe it's the beginning of February. So we're going to do our best to get it out as quick as possible, but we don't have total control. Someone else does. And it's not necessarily the editor either. But this is an education for me also. I've never been through this before, so I'm learning. It's taken a lot longer than I thought. And there are more steps involved than I thought, too. All those steps were not explained to me. But that's fine. Things will move as they move. But we must get educated. These books going out, to me, is extremely important. Ultimately, because it lays out everything we need to know. Anything you want. Matter of fact, I think what we need to do is take this book and create textbooks out of this for school. I've talked with Brent about this, and Brent and I are going to work together. Maybe other people will talk with GR. Maybe he might want to work with us because he's got a good program, and anybody else who wants to work with us. We need to get this book and create textbooks. There's a lot of books that are put out by Constitutional Studies. I forget what exactly. If anybody can remember that website or their name, they've put out the book, The 5,000-Year Leap, The Real Thomas Jefferson, The Real George Washington, The Real Benjamin Franklin.
The National Center for Constitutional Studies.
There you go. So what's the initials for that?
NCCS.
NCCS.net, I believe it is. NCCS.net. Yep. If you go out there, you'll see great books. Every book they got is great, okay? And I'm going to talk with those people once we get our books done and catch up. I'm going to talk with those people and ask them if they'll give us the permission to take those books and turn them into textbooks. Or if they want, if they would turn them into textbooks for school, because they have a great education. I've learned so much from them. They are probably the single most important source that I have for my studies. Not only because I searched everywhere, but I have used their books to get a lot of knowledge. I am blown away by the real Thomas Jefferson. And, you know, when you hear about this, the real Thomas Jefferson, what makes your books more real than anybody else's books? Well, it's simple. They don't utter a word of their own. Yeah, they tie things together, but they go to sources and use quotes. They use letters. You know, the paper we just wrote, very few, there's only two paragraphs in there that I wrote. Everything else is all, taken commentaries, comments from our founding fathers and other people. Dwight Eisenhower had something to say in there. There's quite a few other people. But all I do is sew it together. That's all I've done. And that's the real stuff. That's the great conversation. And that's what these people have done. That's why when you read about Thomas Jefferson in this book, for instance, it's his words, or it's the words of people in exchanging information as they wrote letters back and forth. I mean, you know, Jefferson and Adams was in a constant conversation in letters, but he was in conversations with many, many people, okay? And all of this is recorded, and that's our history, and this is where we tap in to get the information on the real Thomas Jefferson. That's where I found out information concerning slavery and stuff and our founding fathers and slavery. You know, a lot of the research came out of a lot of these different books and other places, but a lot of these books. But they're all quotes. They're all focused in on sources within history that cannot be denied or argued. Okay? Same thing with George Washington and Benjamin Franklin. The real people, who they really were. Their words, their conversations, their intercourse between each other. That's the real thing. That's history. And that's what we need to get into the minds and hearts of our children. We need to bring our children up in not only the fear and nurture of the Lord, but we need to bring them up in their heritage, on who they are as a people, and the duty that they have when they become men and women to return back into this nation what they have been given, the liberty. They have to put their time in, their money, and their time to keep this going. And it doesn't take a lot of money once we get things together, but time is a requirement. You can't have liberty and just sit on your rear end and say, well, okay, I got it. No, you're going to lose it then. You can't have it. Liberty requires work, and it requires your time. So everybody should be going to that meeting every month in your county. Occasionally you may miss it, that's fine, but you should be going. And if you can get involved and be one of the participants in organizing or whatever, you should. Everyone should at one point in their time in their life, one time in their life, serve 2 years as a committeeman. It's 40 hours a year, approximately. Smaller counties, less. Larger counties, or more populated counties, shall I say, more time. But about 40 hours is probably a good number. And I doubt many people have to put more than 40 hours a year into it. And it's usually around election time. It's in the evening. You get to interview the people and decide who you want to put onto the ballot for the people to make a decision. And then, of course, be involved if they have to recall. It's not a lot of work. It's not a paid position, but it certainly is controlling the nation. Government by consent, that's where it happens. It's the most powerful position in our nation is the committee man. It's the people working together to bring this nation back to where it belongs and keeping it there. So everybody should be involved. We're looking for four or five people, four administrators plus an additional person, which will probably work as an administrator too to some degree, but who is an individual who has secretarial skills that can work all the paperwork and keep things organized and, you know, call up for the juries, so administrators for the grand and trial juries. And they should be paralegals with the secretarial skills. And so they should be working with the four administrators. So five people in every county, they are full-time jobs, paid positions, you know. So people have asked me, well, who's going to pay them? Well, the government's going to pay them. Right now, the government is paying, you know, bar attorneys, bar judges, to do these things that we, the people, need to be doing, taking it away from the bar. No bar attorney, no U.S. attorney, no prosecutor should ever go before the grand jury to try to get an indictment. Never, ever, ever should that happen. If they got something that they want to bring before the grand jury, they bring it to the sheriff. and the sheriff will take a look at everything and decide whether he's going to bring it to the jury or not. That's his business, not theirs. Because all they will only abuse that jury. They will pursue their ham sandwich at all costs because maybe, unfortunately today, almost every case I see, especially in the federal level, it's all vindictive. It's destructive. It's stealing, taking homes, taking people's freedom. Nothing but destruction. That's all they do. The bar does nothing but destruction. They've destroyed our courts of justice. They abrogated the common law by a rule. Think about that. Washington spoke about that, that they'll find other ways to change our Constitution. We just read it. They'll abrogate our law. And they've abrogated the common law, not just a little bit here. No, they abrogated all of it. There is no courts of justice in America. Let me repeat that. It needs to be repeated. There is no courts of justice anywhere to be found in America. You might find a judge with a conscience that's getting away with it for a while, but even that person, they get caught, they're going to be controlled and booted out. And guess who approves the judges? You don't get to become a judge unless you're bar approved. Think about that. You don't get to take the bar test, okay? You don't get to take the bar test unless the bar approves you. There are some places in some states, there are attorneys who have gone to school, not bar attorneys, and they won't let them take the bar exams. And so I suppose there are sometimes in some places they can't go practice. I don't know how all that works. I'm not an attorney in that sense. I'm not a bar attorney, and I don't do practice in courts other than what we're doing. And of course, they give us a hard time every time we go into the court. You have no standing. I got a beating heart. I'm alive. I'm from the soil, just like all those other people talk about. All that stuff is true, but we don't make a big thing about that. But nevertheless, we have standing. Why? Because we have unalienable rights. We're born people. Anyway, we need to get involved, every single person here. And we'll be talking more and more about this as we go on. Next week we'll have another subject, I'm sure, but we need to continue to focus in on building our counties at the grassroots. Gerard, are you ready to take the controls, number one, and do you want to talk about what you were sharing with me on Skype concerning the president?
Yeah, very important stuff.
We got to download it and upload. I don't know that we can do that. How long is that video?
It won't work on share screen. It's not that long.
Oh, no, I got to download it first, and I got to turn it into an MP4, then I got to bring it back up and upload it. Yeah, if I'd have known earlier... If you knew about it earlier and got it,
I caught it just before the program.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, we'll share the URL. Matter of fact, I'm going to put that right up on our page as you're talking.
There's two points here, and actually, X-22 had a real good, explanation, episode 2364A.
Is that today's or yesterday's?
I think it was today.
Yeah, I think he comes out around 8 o'clock or so.
And
as I recall, but
after the 8-minute mark, he explains, and Terry sent me something. She said the SGT report is a better source of this particular trap that Trump set up because he knew what they were going to do. They do the same thing every year. And so between his executive orders and the stuff that he put in place, it was a trap for them because when they did their work, they did it under a state of emergency. And he knew there was foreign interference. So basically, they've all indicted themselves under his executive order because we are in a state of emergency right now still.
Okay, so let me just let everybody know about this. If you're not listening or watching X-22 report, that should be your primary source of information. I listen to a lot of different news, but I have certain news as I listen to first, and when I don't have time to listen to everything else, well, at least I get the most important. And this is one of the most important, in my humble opinion, x22report.com. Just go there. sign up. You don't have to sign up to watch, but you should sign up because if he gets shut down, he'll send you an email on where he's at, but he will give you the weekly, the daily reports of what he's put up. So that comes in the email every day. But here it is, x22report.com. This is the political geopolitical report for today. He usually updates around 8 o'clock. He does updates. He does a report every day except Saturday. And now the other thing that Gerard's talking about is a national emergency that he shared with me. I can't play the video, but hold on a minute. Looks like it's 11 minutes long. So let me.
The other one that's good too, John, is SGT report is still out there.
Yes, I listened
really
to that too.
Really good stuff. And Terry sent it over to me, and she says it's actually a better source of the
SGT, I'm finding, is really pretty good lately. Well, it's always been good, you know.
SGT says, the heading says, bombshell, the 2020 election took place under a Trump-declared national emergency that set an election day trap for the unauthorized access of the election and campaign infrastructure. They're screwed. There's nothing they can do now, and it's all recorded, you know.
Well, on yesterday's X22 report, he laid out some of the procedure and processes, and he pointed to some things in the Constitution. I took a look at it and was following along, and I realized how right he was. And maybe ST, what was the other one? S what?
SGT.
SGT. I think he did. Yeah, I think he did one on the same thing, but here's the key thing: that when there is a problem with the electors, it is the vice president who is the president of the Senate who makes the decision that there's a problem. He's the sole decider. The vice president of the United States is the sole decider, and whatever he says in the Senate to require a redo or even bring together the necessary electors from each state, which each state would choose. However he's going to go about it, there's numerous ways that can go, but that's going to happen on January 6th. And here's the kicker. Here's the real kicker. And I didn't know this, and I went back and followed through, and I agree with the interpretation that if we go past January, what is it, the 20th or the 21st or the 22nd that the inauguration usually takes place? Do you remember? I think it's the 20th?
The 20th.
The 22nd. Okay, the 20th.
No, it's the 20th.
Let's say it's the 20th. Well, if we go past the 20th and there is no president, there is a president. The president is the vice president of the United States until this problem is solved.
Oh, well, Nancy Pelosi wants to say she becomes president.
Well, she's third in line. She's not second. And that's the Constitution. And this is not the first time. As a matter of fact, right before, from Roosevelt, was the last one where the inauguration usually took place at about March 4th or in the beginning of March. And so that date has shifted back and forth. But the bottom line is the authority the Constitution gives in the emergencies, and so to make sure that there is a president, so on and so forth. The vice president takes control until the decision is made. So there you go. That's pretty powerful.
And do you know about this lawsuit that Louis Gohmert just filed?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Well, maybe Terry wants to say something about that. I didn't get a chance to really look into it, to read it. This is something, another new bombshell. Terry, can you want to say a couple words about Louis Gohmert's?
I'm about a third of the way through reading it, and basically it's to declare that there's these irregularities in all these seven or six states, and it mentions Arizona a lot, that they have two sets of delegates, and that it's the vice president's responsibility to choose that, and it lays it on him, and I think it reinforces or opens up an opportunity that he has a little more power to do it. Brent's on if you want to get his opinion of it.
And you know
we're
what?
We're going to move things over to Brent shortly. How much time do you want to take, Gerard, before we
No, I'm not going to take very long because, I don't know. I mean, something that was really good here that happened to me tonight is I was listening to X22, that report there, the last one, which was 2364A, and when it ran, when it ended, I was leaving the room, they rolled it into an Alex Jones video. X-22 and Alex Jones, they're all getting together. Mm-hmm. And Alex Jones has a video where he says, look it, we are in a state of emergency, and Trump has called us all to Washington, D.C. on the 6th. He wants everybody there. This is his plan to show a show of power that the people are pissed about the election, and it's going to give him the credibility for Pence to do what he needs to do. This is a lot of weight on Pence's shoulders, believe me, because this is the whole election, and it's on Pence's shoulders. Right now, he is the most powerful man in the world right now, Pence. And Terry, if he does the right thing, he's going to go down in history. But anyway.
Well, Terry, maybe you can send me that link, and I'll post that link up where people can see it and try to get those links. You know, we'll go up on our page, our news page, and we'll make a listing of these different, because they've taken a lot of videos down and stuff. We'll make a listing of the different news programs that we listen to, and maybe most people that are coming here are already listening to these things, but for those who are looking for it, NTD is one place. Valuetainment, this guy does the best interview that anyone I've ever seen, but he covers a lot of different stuff, not just the political stuff, but he covers a lot of stuff. BCP, Black Conservative Patriot, really, really good, very informative. So there's a lot of good stuff out there. We'll post all of these different things and put them up. The Screen Hoopla is pretty. Matter of fact, I've been getting good stuff from Screen Hoopla, too. Front Page, this is new. This guy's new. About a couple of weeks, maybe, or a month that I've been watching him. And this guy, you know, really puts out a good, educated report. He gets into details and gives you information and sources. Very, very good. Again, there's a lot of them. Okay,
so
anyway.
So, listen, if you shared screen,
yes.
And this thing with Alex Jones on Rumble, the audio won't come through?
You know, I'll stick my mic up on the speaker and see if it comes through. You want me to try that?
Because
well, I'll be able to play the video. The video I'll be able to play.
Let me,
you won't have the volume, but I can put my mic up on my speakers, and you could tell me if it's coming through good.
Let me drop you this link. Now, this is the Alex Jones one that came right after SGT.
The one you just sent me, National Emergency in Skype.
Right, it's, yeah.
Trump declares a national emergency. Alex Jones breaks down Trump's plan.
Right, that one.
That's
so
the one?
If you can play
okay,
that.
I'm going to put my microphone up on my speakers. You tell
yes.
me,
yep.
I'm going to play this. Tell me, yeah, it's good, or yell at me, hey, shut it off. We're not getting anything.
Okay.
Right. Let's give it a try.
We're going to see 10 million people in Washington, D.C. on January 6th.
Very low.
I forgot. I'm not going to be able to do it. I got a headset on. My speaker's on. And I don't dare mess with it. I was messing with it earlier.
Yeah, but
I didn't
maybe
think I was
going to
make
it
tonight. You could try it. All you got to do is share your screen, the desktop, share this video, and then put your mic in front of your speaker, and let's see how it comes.
Let me see. Hang
so
on.
I'll stop sharing, and you'll continue sharing.
Okay, so...
I'm going to find that now. Let me see. Stop sharing. Okay. All right. I stopped sharing. Now it's up to you.
Hang on a minute. I lost the screen. I have to take and do a couple of check marks there, don't I?
All right, while you're doing that, just real quick, Jen, do we have any other announcements? You got to unmute yourself, Jen. Maybe Jen. Is Jen with us tonight? I'm seeing your screen now, by the way. Jen, or Terry, do you know if Jen? Oh, there you go.
Jen is here.
Okay. Do we have any announcements?
No, we have three questions, though, John, but no announcements tonight.
Let's see. Are they short-looking, or do you think I'm going to get lost on them?
Well, I hope they're short, John.
I'm talking
That's
about
a loaded
the answer.
Question.
I'm talking about the answer.
You can shorten them, okay?
Okay, let's try it. We'll see. I don't want to get too lost in them right now, but let's see.
The first one should be real short. My question is, after you take all the courses, how exactly do you apply or become a grand jury administrator?
Well, you have to sign up for it, and so you'll be on the list. You have to take all the courses. You have to be involved in what we're doing, you know, so being at the Monday night meetings. We are writing a book, which I've got a lot of it together. I have to bring it together, really. I got a lot of information on it. But we're writing a handbook on how things work, the process, the procedures. But the first order of business is winning back the courts in the federal courts. And I dare say we may very well have to indict some of the United States Supreme Court justices. Maybe someone else will do that anyway. Maybe the Justice Department will wake up, or the military or somebody, because we do know there's a couple of them in there. There's quite a few of them, about four of them. They need to go. But we'll see what happens, over the course of the next month. But nevertheless, if they try to get in our way from taking our courts back, which is our courts, it does not belong to them. These courts belong to the people. They're courts of justice. If they refuse to let them go, then we need to get drastic on this. An indictment would be definitely the focus. We're expecting to have these individuals to come onto our side with this. Yeah, but look at, we're talking about true liberty. Nobody has experienced that, at least none of us in our lifetimes. And again, even our founding fathers, we just read about Jefferson. He said, we already tested one. Let's move to the next one. Let the people have it. The liberty belongs to the people. We decide our behaviors, not the government. We decide in the courts whether to indict somebody or not, not the government. We decide whether they're guilty or not, whether there's a law to be applied, if they're under statutory processes. Well, we decide what is constitutional or what is appropriate to justice in that courtroom. We decide what the punishment is, which, of course, has an eye on restitution. Not the government, not the judges. They're equity. We are law. They need to stay out. And that's going to be hard for them to do. But we the people can do it if we control the committee man process and we get the administrations going. We can do it easily. But it takes the people to work to put their time and their money into it. You know, support your grassroots efforts, because you need to give dues to there. Support our efforts here at National Liberty Alliance, because we need more money to be able to do more things. And then support your the whole thing with whatever time you can give. But go ahead. Are you ready to try to play this?
Listen, if they take five or six judges out under treason, you won't get a bunch of judges real quick to want to come in there. Because you'll have to watch your P's and Q's all of them the same way. Yeah, I want to try it. I'm ready now.
All right. We'll try the other two questions later. Go ahead. Put your mic up there. Get it up. We'll give it full screen. Full screen.
In D.C. on January 6th, and I'm going to be there.
We can hear it.
It's Saturday, December 19th. The year is 2020. And one of the most historic events in American history has just taken place. President Trump, in the early morning hours today, tweeted that he wants the American people to march on Washington, D.C. on January 6, 2021, coming up in just about 2 weeks. He went on to add in the tweet that massive evidence of electronic election fraud tied to the communist Chinese has now been produced, and he has received it. Ladies and gentlemen, this election is in the process of being stolen, and President Trump is calling on we the people to take peaceful action in Washington, D.C. by the millions to let the establishment know that their tyranny will not stand. The globalists have a plan with their Chinese agent, Joe Biden, to bring in a massive depression, to cut off our energy supplies, and bring us under total control via Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, through the Great Reset. For more than a month, InfoWars has been calling on President Trump to fire the bat signal and call on the American people to peacefully march on D.C. And if the system fraudulently tries to install Joe Biden on January 20th, occupy D.C. The Democrats, with no evidence, said President Trump was a Russian agent and tried to keep him from taking office, and then for 4 years tried to drive him from office. In the case of Joe Biden, He, his son, and his brothers are on record taking money from the communist Chinese government itself. Dominion Software, that stole the key five states, is also partly owned by the communist Chinese government, and $400 million was secretly wired from a Swiss bank account by the communist Chinese government on October 7th, 2020, a month before the election. If you let them steal this from you, America, you deserve what happens. But finally, Trump has done the right thing, and not just had rallies in Georgia and other areas. He's not just stayed in the fight and challenged the fraud. He is now calling on we, the people, to take action and to show our numbers. We had between 500,000 and a million people there a month ago. It was historic. MSM.
You move your mic.
We need 10 million Americans or anyone concerned about election integrity in this country, I don't care if you're Canadian or Mexican for that matter, to come to Washington, D.C. But if you are an American citizen particularly, or if you care about the future of the world, and you support President Trump trying to pull us out of all these wars and trying to restore our economy and trying to promote capitalism and basic human dignity and a pro-life worldview, then you need to come to Washington, D.C. on January 6, 2021 in 2 weeks. InfoWars is demonized, censored, attacked, and lied about for the same reason President Trump is. InfoWars and President Trump stand between the New World Order and you. So if you want to be free, and you want to stand against this takeover, and if you realize things are only going to get worse if we submit to this tyranny, and that you're now ready to take action, then share the article at InfoWars.com and share this video on Twitter, on Facebook, on your email, on your instant message, and by hand, and override the system. This is the most important call to action on domestic soil since Paul Revere and his ride in 1776. The time for games is over. The time for action is now. Where were you when history called? Where were you when you and your children's destiny and future was on the line? I've been on air 27 years, and I've never reported on anything that comes as close to being this huge. This is seismic. In the last 24 hours, President Trump stopped giving briefings from the Pentagon to the so-called president-elect Joe Biden. That is like a hydrogen bomb going off, signifying that Trump is preparing to move and take action. And I said that yesterday, and my writers, Kit Daniels and others, said that yesterday and said, look for some big announcements this weekend. And boom, Trump called on the American people to peacefully rise up and occupy D.C. The march on D.C. we've always heard about is now happening. It's occupied by the globalists. We must show our power and our presence peacefully now. Kit Daniels wrote the story yesterday ahead of Trump's announcement today. A storm is coming. Trump considers direct action against foreign interference in election. And this morning, Trump banned all Chinese government-sponsored and controlled companies off of the New York Stock Exchange. Trump signs bill to bar Chinese companies from U.S. Stock Exchange. That is 10 hydrogen bombs going off. I mean, each one of these moves is escalating at levels never before seen as Trump openly calls China out for stealing the election. And now Secretary of State Pompeo says the evidence is clear. SolarWinds, based in Austin, hooked into Dominion and all these voting machine companies, is communist Chinese run, Pompeo is saying, and the evidence is about to be presented to Congress next week. And then it just continues on from there. The globalists are a consortium of megacorporations, communist China, the European Union, Hollywood, blue states, and blue cities that are engaged in a corporate takeover of society. President Trump is someone who is an American and believes in our future and believes in prosperity. If you do not stand with him, you're a fool. To so-called liberals on the left out there, you are lying to yourselves. You have Stockholm syndrome. You are not part of the establishment. You're not the good guys. Apple and other big liberal organizations run giant slave camps and death camps in China on record. You are for censorship. You are for abortion of little babies. You are for evil. And if you allow this multinational consortium to steal our election, you have committed not just us, but yourselves to a living hell. So no matter what happens with this, I beg you to really sit back and assess what you've become. and the fact that you're lying to yourself about globalism and the New World Order being good. Trump is trying to pull us out of these wars. Trump is trying to have China not run death camps. Trump is trying to do a lot of good things, and he is our president, and he was reelected. But regardless of what you do, regardless if you decide to continue to lie to yourself and be delusional, I'm asking all Americans, whether you be black, white, Hispanic, Asian, old, young, gay, straight, Christian, whatever it is, if you feel like you're being robbed and you've seen the evidence of that and you're upset, you have that bad sinking feeling we've all got, then stand up and speak out and promote this massive event coming up in D.C. on January 6th, where a sitting U.S. president, for the first time in my lifetime, is calling on Americans to march on D.C. to save our country from a foreign takeover. This is so real. This is so epic. This is so historic. This is so incredibly dangerous. If we don't take action, I know you will. And I know we're going to see 10 million people in Washington, D.C. on January 6th, and I'm going to be there. Now, if you choose to accept this mission, take this video at band.video and share it with everyone you know. Because if you don't take action, we'll be defeated. If you do take action, we will win. God bless and good luck.
Okay, that was pretty good.
I want to just comment on one more thing. You know, Trump passed this bill, this economic bill, $1 trillion. But what they didn't tell you in the news is that there was that act in 1974 that says that he can redline everything and take those funds. You know, they're saying they're going to give everybody $600.
Yeah, that's what I figured he was going to do. Yeah.
Well, he did it, but they're not telling you.
No.
So basically, he's taking all that money, and look at that. The reason the Democrats wanted that bill so bad because they send that all to these foreign corporations who send it back to them in kickbacks. So this
Who was it that told me that he's pushing it now to 3,000 per person?
I don't know. Well, he wanted two, but he might push it to three.
Yeah, I heard he's pushing it to 3,000.
Well, because you know what, we need
it.
We
should, because that's our money. And
what
people don't realize is that Trump has no intention on paying this debt back to the Fed. They ain't going to get it. Matter of fact, what the Fed is going to get is a jail cell. That's what they'll get.
Did you see the countries, that map of the countries, that all the money that the Democrats wanted to send to all these crazy countries?
Yeah, I heard. I didn't see all of it, but I heard enough.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, and they're sending it to some of our worst enemies, Yemen and this and that, you know, all these.
Yeah, he'll shut that down after it gets passed and the checks start going out to people. He'll shut it all down.
They're never going to start. He sent them, he signed it and sent it back with red lines through this and that. They have no choice. There's no discussion. They have to do it. Because as long as we can run our infrastructure and that money's not needed, which we can, we don't need to be sending $1 trillion overseas, you know. That does nothing to run our country. It runs it under the ground is what it does.
Well, this is a really, really exciting message that we're hearing for Trump and what the people need to be doing. We need to head out to Washington on the 6th and extremely important. And how much more do we, the people, have to do what we need to do in our own counties, on our grassroots, to organize and bring back America? Only the people can save the Republic. That's on our front page. That has been from the very beginning. That's the first thing you see on our front page. Only the people can save the Republic. And that's what we have to do. President Trump cannot do it. Yeah, he's doing a great job, and he's going to set the stage to save the Republic and take away the danger. But if we don't step up and take the authority and return ourselves back, we have the power to do it, back to government by consent of we the people. If we don't do that, it's only a matter of time. Another evil will come, and I'm telling you, the Pied Piper is out there right now trying to organize what we're trying to organize. They're trying to organize the states right as we speak. And they are trying to get rid of the Constitution. They think that they can create a better one. And we know that that's not even near possible. Not with these people who don't even understand the Constitution themselves. So, anyway. All right, are we ready to go to Brent and then get over to an open forum here because it's running late?
Yeah, we are. Terry just asked me to do something. I didn't catch it.
We got two questions, too, if you'd like to do them.
Yeah, we'll deal with them later, maybe or next time, because we're running out of time. We got people in the queue here. We have...
Just unshare your screen.
I thought I did. Shop sharing. How's that?
There you go.
John, you want to put something up there, John?
Do I want to? Okay, I'll put something up there.
Yeah, put something up there. I don't have anything up that's good. So Brent can come in and
let's go to Brent. Brent, are you here as a host, or do you need to be unmuted?
I'm unmuted, I think.
Okay, well, and bear in mind, you could speak at any time if you want to pipe your 2 cents in or 3 cents in.
We promise not to mute you.
All right, we're going to open up to Brent Winters. He's the author of The Excellence of the Common Law. His website is commonlawyer.com. Brent, you got the mic.
Thank you, John.
And then we'll move into open forum. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. This is Brent Allen Winters, commonlawyer.com, www.commonlawyer.com. And my comments are my own. I take responsibility for them. They may or may not be the point of view of somebody else in the leadership of NLA, but as always, they're kind enough to let me say a few words. Let's get to it. He who never quotes is never quoted. And that's my favorite quote, by the way. So I'll quote it. He who never quotes is never quoted. Let's try another one. All is lost.
Oh, I don't know.
All is lost when freedom fails. Good men rot in filthy jails. And them that cry...
We lost you, Brent. What happened to Brent?
Well, I might have muted him because I muted to someone. Oh, I thought that was you, Gerard. Go ahead, Brent. Go back. He came in under my name. So.
Oh, am I okay now?
You're okay now. Sorry.
Oh, good. Let me say that quote again. Yeah. All is lost when freedom fails. Good men rot in filthy jails. And them that cry appease, appease, will be hung... by the vermin they attempted to please. There's no sense trying to please the other side. Well, shucks, there's no sense trying to please much anybody. Matter of fact, if you're trying to please anybody but your maker, you're ticking him off, and you're living under the fear of men. You're living under the fear of men. You know, there was a fella... a long time ago, it's been well over 100 years ago now, he was probably among the most well-known men in America, possibly the most well-known man. His name was Teddy Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt. And he was born into a ultra-wealthy family, the Roosevelts. The Roosevelts were ultra-wealthy. Much of their wealth came from sordid gain, namely the opium trade. When people have that kind of money, it's not something you can earn. It's something that you get some other way. Well, of course, the people that were born into that family couldn't help being born into it, so I'm not criticizing him. Matter of fact, I'm going to say some things about him that no matter how rich a man is, and he was as rich as they come, even that being true, we still have common human experiences. He had everything, every opportunity. His dad sent him off. Well, his dad passed away, but sent him off to Harvard. His dad passed away in his 40s. I believe Teddy was off to Harvard. He graduated with the highest of honors. Then he ended up getting married. Married a pretty girl. They had a beautiful home. Of course, he didn't have to work for it. He's just rich. Beautiful home. And his wife then got pregnant. Or I should say Teddy got her that way. That's all right. They were married. She went to have a baby. She had the baby. And then not long after that, maybe within hours, she died. And then within a few hours, his mother, they were all in the same house together when she had the baby, and then his mother died. Teddy's mother died within a few hours of his wife. And Teddy was mama's boy, close to his mother. Nothing wrong with that. And he was close to his wife, of course. Of course, that devastated him. Utterly wiped him out. And he ended up going out west and just forgetting everything. And he traveled about in Middle America. In Middle America, he went clear to the Dakotas, the Dakota Territory, all through the Midwest, down the Ohio Valley, ended up way out there. And when he finally came back to New York and ended up running for some local office, I think he ended up, no, he was in the state legislature. He got in the state legislature. He was the youngest member of the state legislature at one time. He was 23 years old. But he said that he didn't know that there were people like the people that lived out in what is now the Midwest and the West. It shocked him. He lived in a bubble of wealth. And then he had this devastating experience when his mother and his wife passed away and left him with a baby girl, who, by the way, I remember because she didn't pass away until into the 1970s. She was a big socialite in Washington, D.C. I never knew her. I just remember her and being in the news. That girl whose mother died right after she was born, Alice. Well, Teddy found out that the rest of the world wasn't like him and his family and all the friends he had in the uppity scale section of New York, the city of New York, where the elite meet to eat pig's feet, as they say. And he said there are people out here in the middle of the country that are wonderful people, that are fiercely independent, that rely on themselves to make a living. That was a shocker to him. Well, he liked them, though. And it was them he appealed to the rest of his life. And when McKinley, he wanted to run for president, and the Republican Party wouldn't let him. They wanted McKinley, but just to shut TR up, they let him be vice president. McKinley was shot and assassinated, and TR became the youngest president in the history of our country. And he continued to appeal to those folk that he had met out in Middle America. And there are people like the folk out in Middle America, all over America. These are the people that provide the services for others, that work with their hands, work with their hearts, work with their minds, and enable the country to be wealthy. These are not the people that are the ultra-wealthy millionaires, and there's more of them now than there have been a long time. They live on the corridor. They live on the corridor down the coast between New England and Washington, D.C., on down to Richmond, Virginia. And out in Silicon Valley and the corridor along the Pacific coast, Frisco, San Jose, right on down to Santa Barbara and Long Beach, L.A., San Diego. Those folk that live there, in those places, a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them, they just got a lot of money, and they don't know, and they don't care, and the problems don't affect them. They live in Chicago and St. Louis, too, New Orleans, Kansas City, Denver, all those kinds of places. They're separated from reality, but there are millions upon millions upon millions of people that find the heart of their, the center of their population in Middle America, and spread out like fingers all over the country. And those are the folk that are going to make the difference. They're going to make the difference. They have made the difference. They've made their wish known that they did not want a communist plant for president of the United States, and it'll be them that keeps it from going south on them and keeps the communist plant, the Chinese plant, out of the White House. People say to me, well, what should we do? What can we do? Well, as William Williams used to say, all you can do is all you can do. But all you can do may be enough. So do what you can. Right now, at this very moment, I'm doing what I can. They're kind enough there here at NLA to let me say a few words. There's a few of you out there listening. And they let me say it. I started a lot of brush fires in my life on purpose, had it piled up, and in every case I did it with a match, a flame no bigger than the end of my pinky fingernail. I made some roaring fires. You can do the same thing. Do what you can do. You never know what your comment may do to somebody else. You never know how that can add up. You never know what kind of momentum you may have created. And you may never know. You may never know. But it's still your responsibility to say what you can say and do what you can do. Well, there are a lot of options left. The good news is that DJ has not conceded the election. If he hasn't conceded the election, obviously, he thinks something's up. Obviously, he's going to do something. There are a lot of things that can be done. I think at this point, now this is Brent speaking, I didn't read this anywhere. But I do think at this point, he's probably having more fun than he's ever had in his life. If I were in his position, I hope we're not the only two giggling, but probably other people. I'd be having fun too, just like a cat plays with a mouse.
Well, you know he thrives on it. You know that.
Yeah, no, it's a, you know, that's a good point, Gerard. Deep, when people are president of the United States, and this has been cataloged by the medical profession for years, for a lot of presidents, their health is never better than when they're in office. When they get out of office, sometimes it doesn't stay because they're on a high physically, emotionally, because of the position. And I'm glad for that because man in that position, if he's the one that we want in office, whoever he is, whoever gets into the office of the President of the United States, by proper due process, ought to be there. Anybody who gets in there by proper due process ought to be there. We've had some that have been sitting in the White House without proper due process. Obama did not get in the White House with proper due process. The way we go about seating a man in the White House. There have
maybe
been others.
Maybe that's why he aged so bad. I'm sorry.
Is that why he what, Jordan?
That's why he aged so much.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Reagan was probably the last president that really got into the office lawfully.
Well.
Until Trump, of course.
Yeah. So it's up to us, though, is my only thing. And thing I'm thinking. Let me read here, if I may. Don't give in to it. Don't give in to it. All you can do is all you can do, said Williams. Remember, he who never quotes is never quoted. You got to give credit. Amendment 12, offered in the year 1803, ratified the year 1804. The electors shall meet in the respective states and vote by ballot for president and vice president, one of whom, at least, shall not be an inhabitant of the same state with themselves. They shall name in their ballots the person voted for as president, and in distinct ballots the person voted for as vice president. And they shall make distinct lists of all persons voted for as president, and of all persons voted for as vice president, and of the number of votes for each, which list they shall sign and certify, and transmit sealed to the seat of the government of the United States, directed to the President of the Senate. The President of the Senate shall, in the presence of the Senate and House of Representatives, open all the certificates, and the votes shall then be counted. The person having the greatest number of votes for President shall be President. If such number be a majority of the whole number of electors appointed, and if no person shall have such majority, then from the persons having the highest number, not exceeding three on the list of those voted for as president, the House of Representatives shall choose immediately, by ballot, the president. But in choosing the president, the votes shall be taken by states, the representation from each state having one vote. A quorum for this purpose shall consist of a member or members from two-thirds of the states, and a majority of the states shall be necessary to a choice. And if the House of Representatives shall not choose a president, whenever the right of choice shall devolve upon them, before the fourth day of March next following, then the vice president shall act as president, as in the case of the death or other constitutional disability of the president. The person having the greatest number of votes as vice president shall be the vice president. If such number shall be a majority of the whole number of electors appointed, and if no person have a majority, then from the two highest numbers on the list, the Senate shall choose the vice president. A quorum for the purpose shall consist of two-thirds of the whole number of senators, and a majority of the whole number shall be necessary to a choice. No matter, it's going to take 50, but or 51, what it says in this case, but no person constitutionally ineligible to the office of president shall be eligible to that of vice president of the United States. Now, don't ever let anybody tell you that you haven't heard or read in its entirety the 12th Amendment to the United States Constitution. And if you can tell me, if you were to tell me that you had a clue what they were saying more than about 20% of the time, I'd say you were lying. To understand this, just the words of it, takes a little bit of concentration. Hearing somebody read it once, you're not going to get it. Oh, you'll get a little here and a little there. But there's a lot there. What this tells me, though, is, this is complex. What this tells me is that our countrymen, those that ratified this amendment, were particular. They were persnickety. They were exceedingly careful about how we are to choose the President of the United States. This is the Holy of Holies. What is? Due process. The way we do things, the how, the not the what, the how. Obviously, the Constitution of the United States doesn't give you the end result. Doesn't tell you who's going to be the president. Doesn't name anybody by name. Of course not. Well, what does it tell you? The process we are to follow. And to say it again, I said it last week. I should say it again. What's the problem here? There were some states that didn't follow the process. What is the process? We call it due process. What's due process? We call it our common law. Well, what is our common law? It is the supreme law of the land. That was the old phrase for due process. What our common law is, and our Constitution is a brief of common law government. Well, here we go. So, the House of Representatives votes on who the president will be, and every state gets one vote. That's what it could come down to, friends, neighbors, and kin. And if every state gets one vote, that means that about, the way I got it figured, 30 states will vote for Trump, because they're Republican states primarily, and 19 states will vote for Biden. That's what the Constitution says can happen. And if the Congress of the United States does not do its duty, see, there's more process here we have to make sure that things go according to Hoyle. What is due process? Let me say it this way. Due process consists of those things that we do to slow down the machinery of government. I just read Amendment 12. That blame thing, just to read through it, you get the feeling it's as tangled. It's a tangled mess as you can get. It's not. You can untangle it. But that's the process. They're very careful about it. And we are to be careful about it too. And to allow the evil empire, the left, to thwart this process and do like so many are saying, oh, let's forget about it, move on. No, no, no. They're violating due process. If you let them violate due process, they will become result-oriented instead of process-oriented. If you're process-oriented, and you're focusing on the process, on keeping the course, let the chips fall where they may, way out there at the other end. If you're focusing on the process, then the means justifies the ends. And if you're not focusing on the process, somebody's going to focus on the result and not worry about the process. And when they do, as they're doing right now, they're trying to focus us on the result and forget the process. Well, if you do that, the ends justifies the means. We cannot allow that and be free men. It's not possible. Okay. Well, may God bless America, and may you have the fortitude to think what is right, to say what is right, and if you do that, you will end up doing what is right by inevitable result, because what you think in your head will come out in your hands and your feet and through your tongue. Back to you, Gerard.
You know what I didn't hear you saying there, and I've been researching this over the past few weeks that this has been come up. I don't know if it's in the 12th Amendment itself or it was something else. They talk about the president of the House, who's the Vice President Pence, that he has plenary power to accept or not accept those electoral votes. If he thinks that there was fraud there, he doesn't even have to open them, and that kicks it to the legislator right off the bat. And there's no questions asked. It's totally
his choice. That's what I heard too. He's president of the Senate. He's a right. Total decider.
Right. He's president of the Senate, and he has plenary power. Like when they bring up those electoral votes, if he knows that there's fraud in there, he has a duty not to accept them.
I agree.
So
that's a tough position to be in.
Yeah, it is. The whole world is on poor Pence's shoulders. I don't know if he knew he was going to get into this when he took that job.
Well, the Supreme Court has punted. Several state courts have punted. The hot potato kind of thing.
Yeah.
But this due process thing, again, it slows down, and it takes people through the modest inconvenience of having a lot of people look at it, and we're hoping that through this arduous process, somebody will have the fortitude, the guts, or the stupidity, however you want to look at it, to actually do what duty demands of them. And if they do, that's when men rise above the mundane. Men just like me and you. And for one person, just rise up above the mundane and like sheet lightning flashing across the sky, do the thing that looks more than human, and we look up and see it, and it inspires us all, and then he falls back in the mud with the rest of us. That's what we're hoping happens. Somebody stand up who God has put in the position of making these decisions. In the meantime, it's up to us to try to keep up this consciousness of the country by saying the truth, by not wearing a dumb diaper on your face.
And by taking back consent of government by the people.
What's that?
By taking back government by consent, by participating. They need to participate. Everybody needs to participate on the grassroots level. Not most of us, all of us need to do that. And we need to start that now.
Well, there we have it. Brent says there are certain things you're not supposed to do. And John says, yeah, but there are certain things you're supposed to do.
Amen.
And he's right, of course. But while you're not doing the things you're not supposed to do, start doing the things you're supposed to do. That's what he's saying. I agree. Well, back to you, Jared.
Hey, by the way, we do have Eli on. Well, I see the mic was put back on. I can't take it off of Eli. He accidentally hit the button, and hey. I don't want them to fall out. Eli was first, but go ahead, finish up.
I was going to pick him. I'm sorry. Oh, I wanted to tell you that Ollie and I had a discussion with this guy that ran for Congress in Arizona, and they stole the election from him. And he was on Patriot Soapbox, and it wasn't our time, but we snuck in there. Ollie was all excited because he wanted to. The guy's got hundreds and thousands of affidavits of the fraud that they did to him, and he doesn't want to bring them to the court because he doesn't trust the court. He doesn't trust the FBI. He doesn't trust the DOJ. He's like, what am I going to do with these affidavits? What good are they? Because the courts are corrupt. And I told him to bring them to us. I said, look at it. We will file them in a case. I said, you have to file them in a case because they can't take them out. It's on public, you know, it's for the public. Once it gets on a docket, they can't remove it. So we're going to be doing some more talking, but just give you a heads up. This guy, his name is Daniel. I don't know what his last name is, but he ran for Congress in Arizona, and he says they stole the election from him, and he has all the evidence. And he has thousands of affidavits, thousands, not hundreds, but thousands of affidavits. So we need to tell him he doesn't want to bring them anyplace because he doesn't trust them. I mean, would you? You know. But anyway, that's all I got.
Okay, let's open up for conversation.
Okay, so I will open up, Eli.
Hello, can you hear me?
Eli. Okay, go ahead. I think I hear you.
Hey, can you hear me? This is Eli. Hello?
Yeah.
We got you.
So my one question I had earlier, you were saying that we should join the monthly meeting in our county.
Yes.
I'm not sure.
Yes, everybody should join a monthly meeting in their county. Look, government is from the grassroots. It cannot be from any other place. We have lost the realization of that. Huh?
How to find that meeting in order to join it?
Well, we're going to open a page up where people can sign up and people can find the connection to people who are starting meetings in their counties. You can initiate the beginning. And what I would say is find another person and work together, two people together, meet in a coffee house, start talking about some plans, work to get six people, four, five, six people, and then find a place to have it. We've got lots of information and ideas on where to have meetings. Go under People's Duty and click on Organize Your County. We've got a lot of stuff under there. And then organize that way. Once you get a couple of people together, you find a place to have a meeting. You invite as many people as you can. Here at NLA, we'll give you anybody that gets a hold of Jan for a particular county that you live in, that you want to get things going, he'll share anybody we have in those counties. And you can call them up and see if you can get them to come to the meeting. you can visit other liberty groups in your county. I mean, they're all over the place. There's all kinds of liberty groups. And the best, some of the best places to have it is like a library is a really good place. They usually have a video set up and everything. All you got to do is bring the video you want to play. But you need to organize rightly. And again, we have a plan. And what you're going to really organize the county into what's called the Committee of Safety. And then the Committee of Safety is going to start working with each other. You're going to start running for committeemen, and you're going to work on taking back the courts. We will lead everyone through that process as we go forward.
I look forward to
that's why you're not finding it, Eli. You're probably not having them yet. You got to start.
Oh, no, they're not. They're not. Nobody's having it yet. Right. This this thing with the virus and has really upset a lot of things. But we're setting them up here in Dutchess County right now in January. Doesn't matter, virus or no virus. I mean, look, there's nothing out there anyway.
This whole virus thing was to keep us from assembling. They knew exactly. Such a perfect plan.
Yeah.
You know?
We've lost a year.
Yeah.
How do I find liberty groups in my area? I looked on Meetup.
Meetup.com is a good place to go and run your county.
Yeah, I looked up that already, and I couldn't find no liberty groups. But, all right.
All right, well, we'll post some stuff in the next week or two, and we'll talk about it on a Monday night once we post the page up. And, you'll find Dutchess County, New York up there, that's for sure. I hope to find a whole bunch of other counties posting up there.
Well,
he could
go through the directory and see who's next to him. And you can mix counties together if you only have a few people and you're close.
Yeah, we've done that up here.
We have like a tri-county. Yes, and it was very successful. And we actually helped get a congressman and a couple. You know, we acted like the committeemen, and they came and we wade'd them. Remember Chris Gibson? When we first talked to him, he didn't know anything about the Constitution, and we made him come back 6 months later. He was like a scholar.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a good thing we did.
But we'll also share. You know, again, once we get this started, we'll share names and phone numbers of people in your county with you once we establish the page. And, we have people that are calling people, trying to get them involved or get them back involved and to really get everybody up to do what we got to do. If we don't get rid of parties, if we don't take back the political process and decide who gets onto the ticket, if we don't take back our courts and have run courts of law through the jury and the grand jury and the administration thereof, and we don't get the militia building up again and do the thing, then we're not doing the things we need to be doing. We are failing ourselves and our posterity and our neighbors. We are failing them because we know about it and we're not doing it. So we got to do it.
Yeah.
And it's our duty. We have to save this republic.
Okay, right on. Thank you. And then one more quick question. Did you guys hear anything about Nancy Pelosi getting arrested for something?
No, I haven't heard.
You know what? There's a lot of stories out there. Most of them aren't true, but I mean, it could have happened, but...
Let us pray.
Yeah, exactly. hopefully tomorrow she's got a cement boot on.
Okay. Right on. Well, thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Eli. Thanks.
Okay. Hagino from Pennsylvania. Go ahead. You've been unmuted.
Thank you for giving me the mic. My question is directed to John. John, with all this that's going on with the election and with Mr. Winter's comments and that there has been a presidential election that has been popular in the last since President Reagan, since there's been so much corruption as mentioned, and that President Obama was not a legit president. Well, you know, and that now that there's a lack of due process and that the electorals are corrupt. But my question to you, as a person who studied law for about 20 years myself, what proof is there that there is this corruption, and that if there is, then where across the board where it would have come across to the people that, hey, this is wrong, this is corrupt, you know, here in our county and state. I mean, there seems to be a little bit of confusion that is there, or it seems very discriminatory. But now that the only good president was now that just come through is DT, and that the process was corrupt. But gentlemen, I mean, it seems to me that throughout the years there has been a process of electing our officials. And sometimes there might be a little here, a little there, but the consensus. And if you gentlemen are coming across in this manner, where is the proof?
Well, are you familiar with the proof concerning all of the corruption on the presidential election in those 5 to 7 states, particularly, which is called the battleground states? Have you started seeing the proof there? I'm going to answer the question more fuller, but first I want to know if you've seen the proof there. Do you realize that the millions of votes, that there are 13 million more votes cast in this presidential election beyond the 13 million people beyond those people who are registered? That's number one. Also, there are millions of people who voted for Biden and didn't vote for anyone else on the card. Are you aware of those things?
Yes, I am somewhat aware about it, but overall, sir, if there was so many million more, then how is that corrupt? And how is that corrupt?
How does a man look at? Here's the thing. There is corruption, no doubt. I mean, you got all these lawyers working on this. You got the military working on this. Giuliani, which is represents the president, he's been working on this. You got a lot of people involved in working on this, showing all this evidence. So, hey, let's have a hearing. Let's see what's going on. And that's what's going to happen. But a lot more is going to be exposed. Now, if you're listening to CNN, ABC, BBC, and all those other things, then you're not getting anything. You have to go to the alternative news, which is building up hugely.
Has been hiding this and not talking about it and omitting it. And they're under the control of these corporations that take direct money from China. And this has been going on not just this year or last year. It's been going on for probably 20-30 years.
Yeah, absolutely. We have videos where people have gone into the courtroom bringing up this corruption, and judges have done nothing. These machines have been fixed for a long time. And I believe that Reagan was the last real president that was voted in, rightly. Now you've got, let's take Obama particularly. There's no way. He came out of nowhere. I just don't see him, how he became president either. Now, I didn't realize how much corruption really are in these machines, but there's quite a bit. The fix is in. And the whole fix is in the battleground states where they control the large cities, and that's the key. Those are the counties that they want to pull in. But here's another thing with Obama. Obama was not born. This is absolute. This has been proven on numerous times by numerous people. Even President Trump, before he became president, brought this up. I have seen it years before, when he was running, I saw it. So it's years before, while he was president, before he became president, I was seeing this stuff, that he is not a citizen of the United States. He was not born here. But let's say he was born here. Let's just say that he was. He's not a natural-born citizen because his father was never a citizen of the United States. And in order for him to be a natural-born citizen, both parents must be citizens at the time of his birth. That's called natural-born. And we all know that Obama's father was not born in the United States, and he never became a citizen of the United States. That disqualified him right there. But the bottom line is he wasn't born in Hawaii either. And there's a lot of Fugazi stuff that went on to produce a birth certificate. It was shown that's not even possible, and it was someone else's birth certificate with information changed on it. So that in itself is a problem. Now, we have been led down the road of communism, and we've been led all of my life. We've been led step by step by step by step. I saw its beginnings, and it was even before my birth. I mean, look, the Revolutionary War never ended. It just continued covertly. Only recently has it become overt. So now we're seeing it. I've been seeing it for the past 20 years. I got involved in 1999, and I've been seeing it during that time period on, and little by little, building more and more, waking up to see things.
Do you know who the Trilateral Commission is and the CFR? Do you know those agencies?
Yes, I'm somewhat familiar with the CFR. Yes,
well,
indeed.
The CFR and the Trilateral Commission were around when I was like 13 years old, and there was a problem with them. And my mother knew it. They belonged to the John Birch Society, and the John Birch Society was calling them out as subversive communist organizations. Hillary Clinton says that she gets her marching orders from the CFR, from the Council on Foreign Relations. That's who's running these nations. You know, this is America. We're not under a new world order, but that's what they want, and that's what was going to happen here with China. You know.
Well, what about that General Smutley back in what is it, 37 or 38? Yeah. With the road? Though, well, I don't remember what year it was. Maybe it was a little later than that, 41 or 42. They tried to take over the Roosevelt presidency and use the military to take them over. Right there, was it? You can also, there's so many things. There's Congressman, well, look at Norman Dodd with his investigation on the Reese Committee. I mean, all that's clear. We have all those papers, and it was totally ignored, okay? What about the Continental Congress, the Third Continental Congress that met in 2009 and came together and served papers on every government in the United States, all three bodies, all three branches in every state plus the United States, and was totally ignored? What about, what's that congressman that revealed the destruction by the Federal Reserve on the congressional floors?
Traficant.
No, well, he did it too. He revealed a lot of the corruption also. But no, we're going back into the 30s. They killed him. 30. Three times they tried to kill this guy. And he was a congressman, and he laid it out. We have those papers. We have all that stuff. And the report by concerning Smutley went to the Congress and revealed it on the congressional floor and talked to him about the coup that was taking place, that he was selected to run that coup because he was such a popular individual from World War One, and many of the people of the past wars really followed him, so to speak. And he had the opportunity to take a million people into Washington and seize the White House. And that was their plan. Smedley, yes.
Well, the 1840s, you know, the did come and took over Washington, D.C., and they burnt it down. Now, you know, we're looking at something that, like you mentioned, the CFR, and now you have to understand that the folks that have us by the jewels are guys like the International Monetary Fund, the funding and the money of this nation. And so, you know, we have to understand that we have to work together through, we have to reach out from America, but I understand that...
Well, here's one thing. You say you're a lawyer. Are you familiar with the Rules Enabling Act of 1934?
No, Mr. Dresch, I am not.
Well, of course you are. That was abrogating the common law, didn't it?
No. I'm sorry. What was your question again, John? I didn't hear you.
The Enabling Act, the Rules Enabling Act of 1934, okay? And what that Rules Enabling Act did is gave the authority of the United States Supreme Court to write their own rules. Prior to that time, they were under the rules of common law in the equity side of the court as well as in the law side of the court. And in 1938, the nine justices came together. One of them resigned over this. And so only eight voted, and they voted unanimously to push forward, and the other one just resigned, to push forward the Rules Enabling Act, you know, the rules that they put forward. And Rule 2 abrogated the common law. It fused together law and equity, called it civil law, and made it statutory. And they got rid of the rules of common law totally, 100%, even in the courts of law, which is not possible. And the foundation of our law is laid out in the Declaration of Independence, that we under the laws of nature's God. We are not under the laws of equity. We're not under the laws of our legislators. The legislators cannot make any law to control our behavior. It's not their job. They are servants. They are not masters. We are the masters. They are the servants. They cannot place a law to require us to do anything. If we break natural law, we will pay the penalty. But we don't have to worry about statutes, codes, regulations. It's nothing to do with us. But that's what the Rules Enabling Act did, and that is what the Bar Association did. The Bar teaches their attorneys that we are under Roman law. Nothing could be further from the truth. They claim that our government was structured as under the Roman process. Nothing could be further from the truth. We come from natural law. We are We are created under the idea, the first five books of the Bible, Mosaic law, and the Mosaic the process of structure of government back in those days, 1400 B.C. That's where we come from, and that's proven by two things. Benjamin Franklin put forth the seal, the U.S. seal, and his idea of the U.S. seal was Moses holding up the rod as the Red Sea was being departed and the Jews were being delivered from Egypt, and Egypt was coming, you know, the Egyptians were coming down and the water was swallowing them up. That was the seal of the United States that Benjamin Franklin put out. And the other seal that Jefferson put up, he put up the seal of the fires that was in between, that God put forward the fire, a pillar of fire to separate Egypt from the Egyptians, from the Jews, from overtaking them and destroying them, and protected them, and that was his seal. Okay, and what did they do? Now that right there brings you back to Mosaic law, brings you to 1400 B.C., it brings you back to the way the structure of Israel was as a nation. Okay, and what happened? They rejected that, and some years later, they came up with a seal with a pyramid, Egypt, who was fleeing, it turned us into Egypt, and an eagle, which brings us to Roman law, and that brings us to Justinian law, which brings us right to Babylon. So we're just right back under Babylon with the process that the Bar Association had done. And back in the early part of this nation, in 1818, I think it was, or 1817, the Pope and the English King got together and put forth a decree for the bar attorneys to destroy America through its laws, its government, and its economic processes. And that's what the bar has been doing, the English bar, since the very beginning, and it hasn't stopped. And then they created the ABA here, and the ABA picked it up from here, and they've been destroying our law, our processes of everything, due process, common law. There is no courts of justice in America. None. And anybody who comes in up against the establishment, they're thrown out under Rule 12. It is constantly inconsidered. Doesn't matter how strong your case is, they throw you out.
That's right.
And they
yes,
make their own rules.
Well, that is correct. You know, and the founding fathers did see God's miracle at that time. They had to have. We had no ship. We had nothing to fight the British and their naval might. At that
right.
time, I understand.
Our founding fathers relied on God to deliver them, and he did.
Oh, indeed. Well, that being said, gentlemen, may God bless America. Good night.
Amen. Good call. Okay. Gerard, next caller.
Jay, I lost my mouth. Go ahead. Go ahead, Jay.
Get a better trap.
I've heard that story before. The little bugger ran away from me. So
what's up,
this is
Jay
from North Carolina. I was on my way home for my week off when I heard Trump ask people to come to D.C. And had I known that before I was heading home, I would
you
have
turned your truck around
to make sure. Yeah, to make sure that I was home to go up there, but. I just left the house to head out for another 3 weeks on the road. So I don't think I'm going to be there, but I heard that X-22 report, you know, and I'm thinking, well, what can I do? I can call my congressman, I can call my senator, but we need to flood Mike Pence's office with phone calls, you know, and I've been thinking all day about what I would say to him about his time and destiny, you know, the destiny has brought him to this time where the weight of the republic is on his shoulders, and, you know, he needs to do the right thing and to support the Constitution and uphold the law and save the republic, and in doing so, save the world.
And tell him that
you
he's
know,
got our prayer.
You got our support. You know it's the right thing to do. You know this election was stolen. We all need to flood his office with calls and give him our support and let him know that we're expecting him to do the right thing. Don't go down in history as the man who ended the republic.
Now, that's never going to happen. And look at, you know, even though people are slow to move to do what's got to be done, when the bottom line comes, people will step up to do the right thing. There's no getting, and Trump will lead them. There's no way this can happen. Look, we all know if this guy gets in, America's gone. We're going to be communists before his 4 years are up, and it's over. It's over.
I don't trust Pence, though. I don't trust Pence.
Well, I've been hearing a lot of stories, but I haven't seen any proof of anything. And everything I have seen and found on Pence seems to be up and up, and he seems to be a pretty strong Christian. That's a number one. That's a good thing. Okay. He seems very devoted to Trump, and Trump backs him up, and he backs Trump up. I don't see any way that he would look at, even if he betrayed them, then that doesn't matter. Then Trump will take control, and we'll do it militarily, because that's the last thing. And it's going to happen militarily anyway, because he's going to have to use the military to arrest hundreds of thousands of people. And a lot of these people are going to have to be tried militarily and not necessarily in our courts, because this is subversion by enemies, not only just foreign, but domestic ourselves within government. And even generals and many people on all different levels of government. So it's got to end up militarily. And that's why Guantanamo Bay has been renovated.
Yeah. Well, I think the military solution is the way to go, because
it's gonna, that's the way it's going to end up no matter what. Absolutely. I think he's going to end up with the proper process, you know, that's going to start on January 6th. But right after that, or during that process, or maybe before that process, the military is going to move into action. And what did we hear about a month ago, Jay? Where I think it was where Q said, well, he's been quiet for a while, but where Q said that let me think what it is that he said. Goodness, I forgot.
You got us all worked up.
I know. I was working myself up on this one.
And he said that thing. You'd be like Biden.
But if you can't go to D.C., we all need to call our senators, call our congressmen, and call Pence. We all need to be honest.
Well, absolutely. I agree. We got to ring the... Look at most of these people. I've said it a long time ago, and others have said it, and that half of Congress, if not more, is going to be in jail. Oh, I remember what Q said. Q said that the first big arrest is going to blow your mind. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be so shocking, people aren't going to believe it at first. And what could that be? I used to think it might have been Hillary, but maybe it's Biden.
Yeah, I think it's Biden.
They got so much evidence on Biden, it's ridiculous. And the stupid ass, he goes out there and he brags about what he did.
Oh, he man, I heard a clip of him at a rally today saying, "I don't need you to win the election. I don't need you to win the election."
You're schizophrenic. Oh my goodness gracious. You know, the fact that they put him out there, I think the guy is really dementia. I really do.
Well, I was on the ground for campaigning for Ron Paul, and these elections have been 51% to 49% for as long as I can remember, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I was on the ground campaigning for Ron Paul, and I watched what they did to him. He mm-hmm. won the first debate by 1%. He won the second debate by 65%. Nobody else even got double digits. He won the third debate. He had like 90% of the vote after the debate, and they called him a blithering idiot and a blip of the polls, and John McCain had 6%, and we got John McCain. And then John McCain went up against Barack Obama, who was the Messiah, who was being pushed as the Messiah, the world's savior, right? And I know a lot of Republicans have flipped over and voted for Obama, right? What was the outcome? 51% to 49%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look at we
that's
know
the,
for
that's
a long
the algorithm
time.
In the machine, right?
Yeah. Long time
exactly,
we know about these
exactly.
Machines.
The algorithm's 51% to 49%, and as long as they think it's a close election, they can just put whoever's name in the 51% that they want.
Even a guy that's living in his basement and doesn't come out of it to run for presidency, even he.
Yep.
The point is, so they did.
But you know, I believe Trump got 900 million? No,
900
90 million. 90 million. 90 million votes. I believe he got 90 million votes. I believe he won California. I believe he won New York. I believe he won.
Yeah, I think so, too. I suspect very strongly he probably did win New York and California. I do suspect that.
Well,
all the problems out there.
Before they shut the polls, that was the true count right there.
There's a woman that I've been watching in California. Her name is Peggy Hall, and she is her website is The Healthy American, and she's been fighting in the courts about these masks mandates and stuff. But she said that her neighborhood all got together on the streets. They were all held in Trump rallies, and she knows everybody in her. Damn near everybody in her precinct, and they were all partying together for Trump, and then her precinct went 65% for Biden.
Hmm.
And she said, I don't know anybody. I know all my neighbors, because there's only like 800 people registered to vote in her precinct. And she knew most of them. And they were all Trump supporters. And that precinct went 65% for Biden.
Amazing.
Anyway, that's all I had was just we need to get on the phones, go to Washington if you can. I don't know. I'm going to talk to my company and see if maybe they can send me to Washington. You know, I doubt if it's going to happen, but if I would have known before I was on my way, I was driving to my house when I heard that.
Hey, don't forget to get us some interviews there, Jay.
Huh?
Don't forget to try to get us some interviews.
Some interviews.
Yeah. You were going to make a few calls to a few people. We've been interviewed by some people that you had gotten us in the past.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I can get you on our call for sure.
Definitely. Get us up there. We need to get the message out.
Collective consciousness call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a while. That was always a good one because, I tell you, whenever we went on that particular radio program, we always came, a membership grew pretty good every time.
Well, and I've tried, you know, and I'm still trying with Alex Jones, but, you know, I don't know. I don't know what's up with him. But I should call what's his name, Ellen Schroeder, the guy that does the War Room in the afternoon.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's on his network, but I bet I could get on with him.
Right. See what you can do. We appreciate that.
Okay.
And by the way, we need more national leaders, so anybody that wants to volunteer for national leadership or state leadership, we really need it, which is really, helping to organize counties, ultimately, is the job, organize the whole United States. So anybody who wants to volunteer for that, get a hold of Jan.
All right, guys. Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Jay.
Happy New Year.
Yep, you too.
Okay.
Gerard? Last caller.
What is all that?
All right. Roosevelt. This is Roosevelt. Can you all hear me?
Yes, we can.
You. Go right ahead.
Well, I'll start by saying this. When good men do nothing, evil prevails.
Amen.
And I say that, you know, there's been a lot of good people that have, they've wanted to do something, but they just didn't quite know how to do it. And I think, you know, with your platform here, you know, National Liberty Alliance, you know, you have such a tremendous wealth of knowledge and resources. And one, I commend you all for, as the one caller, I think it was maybe John that had said, you know, that he started a force, you know, a fire by just a small flame, no bigger than his thumb.
That was Brent.
Oh, Brent.
Yep, he's a common law lawyer.
Correct. Well, I do say that's an amazing analogy because I believe that we all can do that respectively within our areas of influence in the circles that we are all engaged in. To address the group, I want to say that I do know that we are in, as they say, perilous times. And there's so many things that are at stake here. I do believe that there are men who have lost their way. I think that some of it was not intentionally, but then some was intentionally. They've been deceptive and deceitful from the very start. I say that to say from a spiritual or a foundation based upon God first, and then, you know, the love for everything else after, you know. I say that we, you know, have been built on the premise that it's all because of the Creator, which is God above, and through the authority that was given by Him, creates jurisdictions for everything else to come after. You know, Him, even though He said, you know, that, you know, you really don't want a king. I am your king, but he allowed for that to happen, and we see where it has gotten us till today. Through different follies and through different things, we are at the mercy of people that are in leadership that has not done what is honorable or what is right, and I do believe that we must take a stand.
The people fell asleep, and it's time to wake them up, because they're doing whatever they want to do because the people don't step up to take the power and the authority.
And
that's what we're trying to give them, is the power and the authority. We're trying to teach it to the people so that they can take it. But only they can take it, and only they can succeed at this. Only they can save the Republic.
I agree 100%. One of the things that I was going to mention, I was on a call not too long ago, and there was a lady that was talking about getting the message out and being able to communicate more effectively, utilizing social media networks to, you know, because they've stopped and they've banned so many different things from being able to share the truth. I was wanting to bring up, because I think I emailed Jan to let her know that I had a very, very good friend of mine who has a platform that they're using to get messages out. In fact, it was a part of the individual who created AI, eventually sold off to Microsoft, and some of the other people that we all talk about. We get what they are and what they do. But there is some tools that are available that we could get and gain access to really, one, have a very clear messaging system to really get people to do simple things. I think sometimes we're overwhelmed with all of the information that it's hard for us to do one thing. You know, and when it comes,
that's why people have to get together in their counties at the grassroots level and take nibbles at this, little pieces, learn about this, learn about that. Some will do this, some will do that, and some will just support it with money. Maybe they don't have time, but they can support it with money. But that's, people have to get involved on the grassroots level in all 3,134 three counties. That's what has to happen, and nothing short of that. And when you really look to see the number of people required to save this nation, you know, as a very strong skeleton crew to really be successful at this, we need about 30,000 people. We need more than that, but 30,000 people will take this nation back if they're as long as they're strategically placed within their states. And so that is the first focus that we have, is to hit that 30,000 number and get people placed where they need to be to start the process to take the political and judicial processes back. But the rest of the people have to funnel behind. You need hundreds of thousands.
Well, how many people do we have in our membership capacity?
A little over 9,000.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean they're all active. A lot of people are sleeping, you know.
Yeah. I agree.
And some people forgot that they even signed up and who we are, and they say, oh, they don't even remember signing up. That happens too. We have people under those situations too. But there are a lot of people trying to do things, and if only they can find us. I mean, look at all the people that have been out there marching and doing all these things since the election, all the people all over the place. Going to Washington and so on. If those people heard our message, you know, they seem to be the active people.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, I have some very close contacts in Washington, and some friends of mine that are very connected to both administrations, you know, good and bad, you know, as they say, because they are more focused on the economics of their business. And so they've had to play both sides in a sense to get anything accomplished at times, you know, and I hate to say that, but that's kind of the way a lot of business is run. I mean, they're contributing to both campaigns because they want to make.
That's why we've got to get rid of parties, got rid of all this nonsense.
You're kidding me? Donald Trump gave to both campaigns to get the building built.
He's
the heart of the deal, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I love it. And you know what? I'll say this in all sincerity. You know, I really respect Donald Trump for saying and doing what he says.
Amen.
And people do not like it. They don't get it. And
most people like it, though.
It's refreshing. You got to admit, it's refreshing.
It's very refreshing. You know,
people say, oh, I'm embarrassed. I'm just like, get over it. You finally got a real guy that, you know, he's a millionaire, but he's like blue collar, you know.
He's a billionaire.
Or billionaire, excuse me.
He's uniquely qualified. I don't know that there's another person in the entire world uniquely qualified in the United States to be able to do what he's done. Because bear in mind, one of the prerequisites of this is to have the knowledge of the people he's dealing with, because he's rubbing shoulders with these people all his life. He's a billionaire, and yet he stayed separated and pure from all of the evil that they've been involved with. I mean, how many people are out there like that? And then has the knowledge and the realization of all of the conspiracies that have been taking place. They're not theories. They are facts.
They are. I agree 100%. And that's really, I guess, leading me to my statement or thing. I would definitely, you know, I repent. Let me just say that. Because I am one of the members that have been listening, have been, you know, gleaming and hearing and wanting to do more. And quite frankly, you know,
Did he wake you?
No, let me just say this. I've been waking for quite some time, and I have several groups.
Yeah,
that
but did we wake you to action? That's the key.
Yes, you did. And I am looking to get more engaged and do my part here in Georgia, you know, South Georgia.
In your county.
In my county.
That's where you got to work. Everybody's got to work in their county.
And you know,
and
I was thinking
3,000 of them.
Okay. We should have a list of who to call and a script.
Well, we do. We do have all that. We have people who are making phone calls. They got a basic script, you know, generally that they follow a basic script idea.
I mean, like this week, we should be calling Pence. All our membership, if you're doing nothing else, you should get that number, and you should call them because they need to see, you know, they know every phone call is worth so much. A letter's worth so much. They got this all figured out. So it makes it easier for them since they're so disconnected to where the rubber meets
the road.
Well,
we are also getting their addresses so we can send them a copy of the book. I mean, all of the key people in Washington that we see are really working with the president. They're going to get a copy of the book. Any key person.
But all our members should be calling, especially at a time like this.
I think there's a strategic way to do that. And that's kind of my background, you know.
Okay, you get the group then. I give it to you.
yeah. And I'm a mobilizer. I know. I've done that.
We need help on a national level on that too.
I can definitely help you all with that. You know, we did mobilization for American Heart Association and their foundations, and a lot of these different larger organizations. I work with the CDC and Healthy by Default and other mobilizations to get people to become healthier. So I've done that. I know that world, and I know what to do to make it simple.
We just had a meeting recently. You know, one of the individuals that called for the meeting and to look at our structure and to work with us, and he's got a background in this kind of thing, in organizing. And so we had a very, very interesting meeting recently, which we did recall, and we're sharing it with our leadership. And maybe we'll share that with everyone soon. But we're looking to restructure and do things that we didn't think of or know about because we just didn't have the experience in certain areas. And then a lot of us, you know, the real busy people, we have Francine who's got a background in management, and I got a background in management, but she's busy doing things, I'm busy doing things. And then we have other people who have some experience here or there, but we have to bring it together. So if you want to participate in our next meeting, sure. I'm not sure when that's coming up, get your name and information, send it to Francine at nationallibertyalliance.org and give her your phone number and your name. Tell her you're Roosevelt talking with us tonight, and you'd like to be part of that meeting of restructuring NLA here. It's not going to be a major restructuring in the sense, you know, we do have a basic structure. We have 10 districts, and each one of those 10 districts has so many states. We have state leaders, and then each one of those states has so many counties. So that's kind of our structure down. But there's more to organizing than just creating that and right. laying out the necessary duties and requirements of what needs to be done for each of the individuals at different levels. We have committees, and, you know, so we have a lot of organizing to do. And if you can assist us on that, we really can help. Need that help.
I think that I owe you all that.
And anybody else that wants to get involved in that kind of thing that has experience that they can, you know, share and give us and work with us on that level, by all means, get a hold of Francine, give her your name, your phone number, and say, I want to help. I got some experience in management or whatever the case may be. And
I will send Francine my information now.
All right. And that's Francene, Francine at nationallibertyalliance.org.
Okay, perfect. I just pulled it off of the actual call itself. Okay. I see that.
Francine, do we have a meeting set up already coming up with GR and others? Did we set a date on that yet?
GR and I have a meeting set up, John, to get the information together. So you weren't invited.
Okay, good. I'm too busy. I don't want to come.
That's great. Thanks, Francine. I'll be sending my contact information over to you.
I'll watch for it, Roosevelt. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And anybody else that wants to get involved with, the working with organizing across this nation on national level or state level, we need everybody. And anybody doing that also should be participating in their own county, you know. Even if they're not working in a real heavy way on your county, at least you should be participating and supporting them and working with us and whatever we can do. But NLA's purpose always is to bring organization, communication, and education to the grassroots level. That's the key.
And is that meetings that you have quarterly or annually? How do you?
Well, we want to set up a more structural thing than what we've been doing. You know, we've been loosely doing things, and now it's time to really buckle down to really, you know, fill in the gaps, tighten up the nuts and bolts, and add on whatever we have to add on, an extra wheel here or whatever, you know. Whatever we got to do, we're going to listen to your ideas and everybody's ideas. We already got an itinerary, and Francine will get you a copy of that, of what we're kind of discussing.
Okay, great.
Okay.
All right, I think Jay is back.
Really?
He can't get enough. No, look at him. He's back here. He's going to hog the mic again.
Okay. He's going to say, I got off. Hang on. Let me open him up real quick.
Hey, thanks, Roosevelt.
I just wanted to be the last one again. No, I was just going to say I did finally get that petition signed.
Oh, okay,
I tried
great.
It 10 times with my Gmail account, and then I had to open up a Hotmail account, and the first time I did it, it went right through. I don't know if Google was blocking me on my Gmail account.
Oh, no doubt.
Well, since you're mentioning that, let me make that announcement again. I forgot to make that tonight, and we should make that every until it ends, which is actually coming up. We're looking for millions of people to sign a petition to end the election violations run by Robert Schultz, the founder of We the People, a really big organization that has done huge work in the Liberty, you know. So all you have to do is go to a website, nationallibertyalliance.org. Right-hand side, you'll find it on every page. Just underneath our book advertisement, you'll see signed petition to end election violations. Are we done, Jay? Can we go home?
Yeah, that's all I had. I just wanted to tell you I did finally get through, but I had to open a new email account to do it. So.
Wow, that's amazing. All right, thank you.
Okay. Yep, thanks.
Godspeed, everyone. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. Thanks for coming.
Okay,
Let's
thank
get
you.
Active.
God bless everybody.
Save the Republic.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.